The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear. We have all kinds of gay and geeky, exciting media, gaming, music, movies, TV, comic books, and did I mention gay? News ahead of us. I have here next to me Mr. Jared.
By sheer force of miracle, I'm here.
Yes. Yay! They let you out of the fire dungeon for at least a little bit. That's very nice. Our roving reporter and comics reviewer at large, Mr. Joshua. The question.
I have a tummy ache.
Bitch, you haven't gone nowhere. How can you be a roving reporter?
I haven't gone nowhere.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean I haven't gone nowhere?
Are you going to New York this year?
No.
Oh.
I went to North Carolina. I went to Atlanta. And I went to California.
Where have you
And
been
I went to the Orlando Convention Center.
Bitch, that's down the street. Whatever.
Of course, that is the...
Where did you go this
oh, that's sore
this
subject.
Year.
Let's not go there.
Oral.
Let's not go there.
I mean, so one of us is going to be roving. One of us has to be roving.
Girl, shut up.
Girls. Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Garrett.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Of course, the mouthy one was Mr. Oral.
Hi, everybody. I realize that I don't need this show anymore because I got my own sassy, fantastic series called Dragons and New Spandex, we'll talk about later.
What have we unleashed? And then, of course, next to him, sandwiched in between Joshua and Oral, is our muscle daddy, Eric.
God, kill me now.
So he's assuming a fetal position with his arms crossed and head down, looking down at something. So, like I said, we have all kinds of gay and geeky stuff. If you've never listened to Flame On, you are in for a real treat. I'm sure if you found us, you at least know where to find more of us. But we are on flameonshow.com and on Facebook, Flame On Show, if you are so curious. Now.
And iTunes.
Yes. In fact, I think we should start appealing for some reviews because I don't think we have very many, if any. We may have one or two.
Uh-huh.
And evidently that matters a lot because I hear every damn podcast talking about, please leave us reviews on iTunes. So, that's your homework, dear listener. Please leave us a lovely review on iTunes because we'd like to hear.
Love it.
Listen and then
you
do
guys
homework.
Are fantastic.
Yes. Make it short and sweet, but just write something. Hopefully nice. So,
Oral's the best.
Everyone loves Oral. Now, movies. We're going to start out with some news, as we like to do. And I think the biggest thing that has come out in the last couple weeks since we recorded is that Ben Affleck. Is that how you say his name? Ben Affleck.
Did we discuss this? I thought we did.
No, it happened after
we
recorded. So we have not talked about it. We don't have to beat the dead horse, but what do we think about him as Batman?
Apathetic.
I don't care.
Yeah? Anybody actually care?
He's a great Bruce Wayne.
I think so, too. And if he has the beard, too. Ooh, I do like him with the beard. Did anybody see Argo in here?
No.
See, Argo is the movie where I thought... I mean, I like Ben Affleck. He's great. But Argo is the movie where I can see that world-weary Batman. Because his character was just very like, oh... I have to do this. You know, very like, very committed, but yet just weary of the whole thing. And
that was very Keanu Reeves.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was very Keanu. I watched The Matrix the other day. But so I think he's going to make an excellent Batman. And he definitely is a little older, I think, than the guy playing Superman.
Yeah, they do want the world-weary Bruce Wayne this time. It's sort of pulling from The Dark Knight Returns. Zack Snyder has met with like Frank Miller, you know, who wrote The Dark Knight Returns. And
that's
so,
going to be interesting.
You know, they're buddies from 300, I imagine.
Oh yeah,
but I like it. A lot of people. At first, I heard it, and I was like, "What?" Because remember, remember all those rumors about him starring in and directing Justice League.
Mm-hmm. I heard him
suddenly
directing.
That makes a lot more sense because he's going to be Batman and direct Justice League. I think that's exciting. That's cool because a lot of people, their initial reaction was they're thinking Geely Ben Affleck and Daredevil Ben Affleck and J-Lo Ben Affleck.
Don't forget Jersey Girl
and Jersey Girl Ben Affleck. That was like
That was actually
But
good.
That was like over like 10 years ago. Like, but we're getting Argo Ben Affleck, and we're getting The Town Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
We're getting Academy Award winning mm-hmm. Ben Affleck. So he's like at the top of his game right now. He had a bad spot. We all do. So I think it's really cool. But honestly, the reactions from the internet have been the best thing about this. Everyone's saying Matt Damon's going to be Robin. Someone cut together Good Will Hunting, but had Batman in the place.
Jennifer Garner's be Wonder Woman.
Oh, if only. Oh. No. Well, the new rumor is that, and of course, this is totally probably bullshit, but Justin Bieber could be the new Robin. And I think that's just, you know.
No, that was debunked.
Okay, good.
He had a picture of the script, or like a fake mocked up cover of the script, and put his name on it and took a picture of it. And so everyone freaked out.
Yeah.
Which I, like, it's so sad to think that everyone on the internet is just that stupid. Because there are some smart, intelligent conversations that can be had on the internet.
Usually on NPR's sites. Or
but
Facebook.
The thing is that like a picture plus celebrity does not equal truth.
Right.
Like, it could have been Photoshop. He could have been holding up like a Domino's pizza box for all we know.
But a picture's worth a thousand words.
Well, I'm glad that has been debunked. So, another revelation, of course, is that James Spader, famous from was that Boston Legal, and now in this, what's the new show he's in, Blacklist or whatever, Whitelist.
Don't forget that he was Daniel in Stargate.
It's way back, yes. And in The Office. So he's going to be Ultron, or the voice of, I guess, something.
Well, we don't know yet, but when that announcement hit, I was like, who? What?
Really? See, I love Boston Legal. Seeing him and Captain Kirk, what's his name? My brain's not working. Seeing them together. As
William
lawyers,
Shatner.
William Shatner, thank you.
Uh-huh.
As lawyers, they're just like buddies, and with the David Kelly dialogue, that was a great show. So I really like him. So yeah, no one really is like.
I mean, it definitely wasn't as polarizing as casting Ben Affleck.
Because a lot of people
Batman.
Are like, who?
Yeah, like that was Marvel's response. Like, we have James Spader. Yeah. Let's just throw him that.
Now, most excitingly in movie news right now, for all us Harry Potter fans, we are getting another movie, at least probably a series, and it is written, the first one, I guess, is being at least co-written or whatever by Rowling herself.
Yeah. No. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Which, by Newt Scamander.
I mean, I will say this. I know a lot of people were all, oh my God, they're making more Harry Potter. They basically knew she would get back to Harry Potter at some point.
Mm-hmm. Whenever each movie makes $1 billion, it was bound to happen.
Even the last one was very good and not just, you know, like of all these like teen and child books sort of whatever. I think the Potter books are all just very strong. And the movies they've made, for most part, except maybe the first two, are really good. So I'm excited.
Well, because they could act by the third one.
Yes. Well, and they got rid of that, what's his name, director, who did Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Columbus.
Yeah,
Chris, you don't like Chris Columbus?
I did not care for the way he did Harry Potter's, the first two.
He did the first two?
I think he was an executive producer for a lot of them or something, but I just didn't.
Well, then Alfonso Cuarón, who's like a genius filmmaker, seriously. He took it over. He's like, let me show you how it's done.
Yes. Oh, and then Yates, guy who used to do like English like television, took it on and just carried that through and kept doing awesome. Mm-hmm. Dark.
I actually didn't like his he got better as he went along, but the fifth one was like an awfully shot and edited and like just directed movie.
So we actually saw a few movies. Let's start with the one I didn't see, Riddick. Who saw it?
I saw it. You saw it too?
Yes.
Did you like it? Wait, first of all, have you seen Pitch Black and
Chronicles of Riddick?
Did you see that little DVD movie that they released to connect the universes?
No.
Oh, it was like a bridge material.
Yeah, because they're two wildly different movies. They wanted to show how, like,
basically,
bridge the gap. You
for
know?
Those who have not seen or whatever, at the end of the second movie, he becomes like the lord of this.
The necromonger.
The necromonger,
thank you.
Yeah. So they show how that kind of changes and goes away.
When did that happen?
The end of the second one. End of the
Chronicles?
Yeah, Chronicles.
Oh.
I want to say this before we get into it, that Chronicles of Riddick is one of my top favorite. It's like in my top five
really?
Of favorite movies.
Honey, I'm so sorry.
Ever. And it gets a bad rap, and I can't see why, but it has, it's like unbound, unrestricted sci fi awesomeness. Yeah. And Riddick is like a space ninja who can like just appear and kill people awesomely, and he's got eyes that can see in the dark, and when he takes off his goggles they glow, so he always looks awesome.
Hunky
Vin Diesel.
I wouldn't call him a ninja. He's very much in
a space ninja.
He's very much in line with the, I would compare him to Conan because it's that brawler that
he's got a covert angle though.
He's focused, he's unscathed by anything, and he lives off the land, so he's, you know, easily adaptable to whatever
maybe
situation.
More of a samurai sort of character.
No, he's like a stealth force.
But he does does have a stealth.
I do see what you're saying. Yeah. He's definitely part Conan, part ninja. But what could be more badass than that?
Part Conan, part ninja? Sign
can
me
you
up.
Believe it?
So
in space.
Also in space.
Smell period blood.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
So what I want to know about is Katie Sackhoff's boobs. I heard they were shown, and I actually kind of like Katie.
Side boob.
Tasteful?
No, it was.
And then there were full boobs.
You can see the nipple and everything. My my straight friend said he hates her from Battlestar Galactica, but he's like, but she's got nice boobs.
What the hell is wrong with your straight friend for hating her?
I don't know. I don't like her character in Battlestar Galactica.
She's Starbuck.
I know. Starbuck's cool. She's not. I don't think she's the best
actress. Are you not excited by the rumor that she might be talking about being Miss Marvel slash Captain Marvel?
That was debunked. Thank you. Thank God.
I'm really glad that you learned a new
she's
word.
She's a very...
debunked.
I learned it in California.
Oh.
And no, but anyways, I really like this. It was like back to basics, but I read why they had to do that, because the second one was this crazy sci-fi thing.
And tanked.
And it didn't do well, so they had no budget for this one. They pretty much just put their own money into it. It's made by Riddick and this other guy.
Julie. And you can tell just by the chemistry of the cast that they had fun doing this, and it really translates very well, you know, when you're watching it.
Well, I think the first movie, I mean, Pitch Black is one of my favorite. Pitch Black?
Yeah.
I always think it's Pitch Perfect or some other thing.
Which is
movie. I know.
That's something else to tell.
I know.
I love that movie.
So a mashup would be interesting. No,
after whatever.
I think, honestly, and I do like Chronicles as well. I think that's a stronger film. And it had that nice indie scrappiness.
Yes.
And an economy of story. They really focused it down to a very... And it sounds like that's what they did with this third one.
Yeah. Well, how is, since it was not too much of a budget, how was the special effects?
It kind of... Well, they were...
Like, were they paper?
Not very... Yeah. On a stick, you know, a piece of paper. I don't know. I thought when we did see them, I don't know if you feel the same way, Jared, that like the aliens, like the monsters and stuff kind of look cool, but they... We're constantly just doing close-ups of the characters, and they would shoot at things off frame. It's like, I got him. Bang, bang. Like, so they weren't showing a lot. And then when they were ready for like a big action scene, the camera would pan back, and there's like, oh, there's a big horde. And then there's this one really, the worst scene was when they got on those bikes, you know, those like speeder bikes from Star Wars.
They're like space Harleys.
And they just the shot of them like flying over looks like someone did that in like 1998. Yeah. Like, it was like TV movie 1998 special effects. I was like, and then they kept getting back on the bikes. I was like, oh, stop.
For every monster they killed off screen, they saved like themselves $10.
That's one less movie.
3D models are expensive.
But yeah, if you're a fan of like Riddick, this is like the character, I think you'll enjoy it. Although if you didn't like even Pitch Black, then I wouldn't bother.
It's definitely a cult movie, so
cool.
And but at the very end they sort of tease out, they're like, oh, there could be another one. Like,
well,
and they like sort of set up where it would go. So
I want to see old man Riddick. I want to see him when he's like a lot older. He's still a badass.
He's looking for Fury.
With a blonde space Hawkeye.
Oh, really?
Traveling across
his home planet.
The stories he's looking for his home planet.
Yeah, I kind of thought that they would have done that with this one. But again, smaller scale, they want to reestablish. Yeah. But so what about The World's End? I actually saw this one because I am a huge Edgar J. Wright. Yeah, that's right. And
the director of Ant-Man.
Yeah. Coming out in 2015. Boo. And Simon Pegg and Nick Frost and everybody in that. I will say, from my perspective, the third of their... What do they call the series? So we
Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
This one was, to me, not the strongest of the three. It felt very... They were trying to kind of... Not tie things up, because they're completely independent movies. But I don't know. It just felt very like they were trying to send a message more than the other two. And so I felt like a little just too much of that.
Are you talking about in the end when they were like screaming about their lives to the giant light?
Yes.
Man, could you imagine being there when that was being filmed, them just screaming while looking into a bright light for like hours?
I'm sure it was very
entertaining. Let's do that one again.
So, did you like it?
I actually did. I thought it was a lot better than Hot Fuzz, which I didn't really enjoy. And Hot Fuzz references so many other movies that I haven't seen. Like, I haven't seen Point Break.
I'd like to. Hot Fuzz is a love letter to buddy comedy.
Right.
Just like Shaun of the Dead is a love letter to zombie movies.
Shaun of the Dead's my favorite. It's like one of my favorite movies.
I don't know what this third one is a love letter to, other than Doctor Who, because the whole damn thing felt like the Autons like attacking, because the robot they were basically like these alien created synthetic life forms. Shut up. So the
he
whole
found
thing,
a way to bring it back to Doctor Who.
The whole thing felt like a Doctor Who episode gone completely off the rails. So it was. I liked it from that perspective, and I will say this: the ending surprised me. I didn't think they would do that as the ending.
Yeah, that was a bit crazy.
And I don't want to spoil it because it is pretty, don't expect that.
The movie does have a couple polarizing moments like that. Like, the first, I think, 20 minutes, it plays it straight like a normal movie.
Yes.
Which is sort of like a funny, like, screw-up guy comedy. And it's funny that Simon Pegg is the screw-up this time around. And Nick Frost is, like, the straight-edge guy. Mm-hmm. Simon Pegg, my buddy, you know, who I met when I was in California.
How's he doing? Is he doing well?
Oh, yeah. He's great. I'm really happy for him. Success.
I went with Pat, our talking bearskin rug.
And
my boyfriend. And he hi honey. And he is he did not care for it as much. In fact, he fell for the whole first 20 minutes. He thought it was pretty much be a straight up, you know, British comedy. And then, you know, the first scene where they knock the head off the robot or whatever, and it was just like, wait, what? What the hell is this movie? But anyway, yeah, I definitely think as a comedy it's good. I think it does do very well and it's funny and it's very British, so if you like British stuff. I heard on Terry Gross on Fresh Air that the reason they did these three movies is to show British life from a very non-stereotypical perspective. So all three are set around like British communities that you don't normally see. So the first one is kind of like the
suburbs.
Yeah, sort of. But
so like outside London, not London proper.
Right. And the second one is like way the hell out in this like small pristine community. Mm-hmm. And the third one is, I guess, sort of the gentrification of those smaller rustic communities. So that
Which
was one of the things.
Be interesting because I just remember what I need to talk about in TV section. But okay,
good. So anyway,
I thought that's actually my favorite movie of the summer.
Oh, okay,
yeah. So.
Well, good. Now, moving on to some television news. Of course, we can't go very far without mentioning that Breaking Bad is wrapping up very soon.
Holy shit.
And I don't follow this, and I am interested in watching it. All I know is a lot of shit went down.
Oh.
The shit
characters
went down.
Yes. Are getting off left and right.
It's the wrap up. It's the last night was the third to the last episode, and we've been waiting for this for years. Like, this is just the culmination of every choice you make, every decision you did.
All your chickens are coming home to roost.
Exactly.
It came so full circle that the pants that opened the very first shot of the very series, we saw them like lying in the desert now, all like crumpled up and dried out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's
how far circle we've come.
Mm-hmm. So that's not something, because I only watched the first episode. I didn't know at what point they would get to that scene. So that just happened.
No. I'm sorry. That pilot comes full circle in itself.
Okay.
But I'm saying that we saw those pants again. Like, they never went and picked up the pants.
The seeds of what he's sown for the past year or like year and a half, whatever their time frame is.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, for the whole show. But the whole show you're saying takes place over like 2 years or a year or two.
Yeah. It's really short, even though we've been watching it for years.
Yeah.
But can we do full spoilers or would you rather not?
I don't want to do that in this case, selfishly, because I actually do want to see it and I've been avoiding stuff. I kind of have an idea just because context tells you a lot. But I mean, if you talk in vague.
It's really hard. But let's
I'm
say
sure there are other
it
people
starts
because
the last episode was like this huge like gunfight and it starts and two like characters that one of my favorite characters dead on the ground.
Yeah.
By the first 20 minutes, they're dead on the ground. So that freaked me out. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe they did it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was reading Monkey See, the podcast for Pop Culture. I'm sorry, the blog for Pop Culture Happy Hour. Yeah. And
with our buddy Glenn. Hi, Glenn.
It's the only thing that could happen.
You're right. It had to happen. But they kept waving it in front of you, like, oh, it might not.
And then it did.
Then they made a Watchmen reference, and sort of.
Wow,
and he's like,
a terrible description.
And he's like,
I know. You have to be so big. Well, it's terrible.
Fix your phone.
Because the show was that episode was titled Ozymandias, and says what Ozymandias says is, "You're the smartest guy I've ever met, but this guy made up his mind 10 minutes ago."
Exactly.
And bang. And I was like,
this is interesting to me. This show is it's catching like that Sopranos sort of excitement, like of this anti-hero type character or villain or whatever he is. Mm-hmm. And it's written by an X-Files alumni writer, Vince Gilligan.
Vince Gilligan, yeah.
Or Gilligan. And he was some of my favorite X-Files. So I'm thrilled that I got to watch this show.
You know, I will say, you don't watch Breaking Bad and think every episode is the greatest episode ever.
It's like crap.
But there are no bad episodes.
Yeah, there are no bad episodes.
Even like, the one with the fly.
Yeah. Season 2 is like my least favorite season. But that's like saying, I mean, I like cottage cheese. I don't really like cottage cheese with like fruit in it, but I'll still eat it. Like, it's not bad at all. And a lot of stuff happens. Yeah. And all of that character development came to fruition last night.
Yeah. And it was the darkest hour of television I've ever seen. It really, oh man. Like, again, we can't talk about it, but why can't we talk about it?
You watched any of it.
No, that's okay. The,
yeah, you wouldn't remember
I
a word.
The first season. No, I will remember because unfortunately I know some of the characters now. So let's cleanse our palate here and talk about children's, quote unquote children's animation. I want to mention Gravity Falls because I don't think I talked about this last time. And this show has become like my new favorite animated TV show.
Jay Jones watches it religiously.
I know a bunch of guys from the store, I think, who really like it. In fact, our friend Hex from Nerdy Show is supposedly going to maybe do a dress up as Grunkle Stan, which would be awesome if you know the character.
What's it about?
It is a summer adventure of brother and sister at their great uncle's, or Grunkle, whatever they call him, Grunkle Stan's, like house slash horror museum in this town called Gravity Falls. And it's just some, you know, no name, whatever, not no name, but, you know, sort of generic small town. But the deal is around this fake. The guy's obviously trying to scam people out of money, like roadside thing. There's all these real monsters and creatures and adventures they have, and there's like hidden codes, and they make all kinds of pop culture sort of things. Like they just had this pastiche off ABBA's Dancing Queen that played a big role. They have these awesomely subversive little moments that kind of appeals to adults' sense of humor.
What channel?
It's on Disney XD or whatever. Same people same group of people who make regular Show and Adventure Time.
That's the end of that.
But this thing has an ongoing story and is a little less like random, I think. Because I like those shows, but this one to me is a little more focused and
I
good,
like
so.
Neither of them, well, and I have to sell them at the store.
I'm sorry.
But I've heard a lot of good things about Gravity Falls.
So have I.
I'm just, it's such a, Kristen Schaal does the voice of the sister.
Oh,
she's
cool.
Awesome. The MILF chick, Jennifer Coolidge, is on there.
Oh, I love her.
I haven't seen her in a minute.
There's this very gay, he's like a kid, but he's very effeminate, psychic sort of personality. He's like the villain, Gideon. It's just awesome. I love it. So I had to mention that. But I also want to hear about Korra Season 2.
You watched it, Oral, as well?
No, okay. I have a confession to make. I have been catching up on a lot of TV. I've still only seen the first two episodes of Korra.
That's it. That's all there is.
No, what? Of Season 1.
What?
I know.
Oh, I know. No. How just, dare no,
go
you?
Ahead, go
well,
ahead.
You won't. It won't make any sense. It won't really spoil anything.
Much has really happened.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, I watched
Yeah. What do you think of the start, the spirits?
I'm still waiting for Ko. Ko is...
Which one's Ko?
Ko is from the Avatar series. He was the face stealer. He's the enemy to the Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you? Is that like
he's
your favorite character?
He's from the spirit realm.
Oh, you're waiting for him to like pop back up
yes,
and like.
Yes.
You really think they're gonna go back that way? These new creatures are such a departure from that.
They are. Yes.
These weird psychedelic purple things that can transform and are like immortal and.
Yes, and then you know it suddenly appears, and then this guy just subdues them so easily.
So
and
is
then,
a ghost bender.
Ropes.
Spirit bender?
Yeah,
ropes
well, he's a waterbender.
Studying with him.
Yeah, it's very much like, because it's two warring, or two, you know, brothers who are waterbenders having a feud. Isn't that a little too much like the villains from the first season?
Yeah,
it's pretty much the exact
yeah.
same thing, yeah. but yeah. now we're talking about the spirit world.
Yeah. I can see that.
And it's Korra's father.
If it works.
We visit her, Korra's father. We get to see the Southern Water Tribe. Tenzin is like her teacher. And he wants to go on a tour of all the air temples. But she gets lured into giving him the boot as her
teacher.
And takes on this new guy, the chief of the Northern Water Tribe. Anyways, whatever. It's really cool. There's lots of action. There's a big like mystery going on. We're going to meet the first Avatar. They sort of tease that. Who's going to be voiced by the guy from Walking Dead, the Asian guy?
Wow.
Glenn,
yeah. Whoever plays Glenn. Is his name like Steven Wen or something? Or whatever. Yeah, but no, it's super cool. Great start. Can't wait for more.
Now, I did skip over television news, and there's actually some big stuff I should mention. Now, Breaking Bad is getting a spinoff.
Better Call Saul.
Which Bob Odenkirk, I didn't realize that he was a big person on the show. That's awesome.
I mean, he's not.
Yeah, he shows up.
Later. Yeah, he's not like a huge major character.
But he's there big for, enough to get a spinoff.
He's there for comic relief. But you always look forward to seeing Saul.
Well, that's cool.
Saul Goodman.
I'm excited about that. And it is a prequel, so I don't know what happens to him in the show, but he's in whatever. So this was huge because I always remember seeing the commercials for Prison Break. And I was like, I want to watch that show just because Wentworth Miller is fucking hot. And I didn't think, oh, well, he might be gay. Who knows? Turns out he is.
Girl, that's old news. Like, so old news. Oh,
but again, it came out after we recorded.
No, I'm not
oh,
saying.
Oh, you mean he yeah. was well known?
Yeah, he was
well,
beyond
me. I didn't know.
Well, and he's... I had heard that as well, that it had he came out like last year, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But right. for whatever reason, it didn't make waves, and now it is, so.
Because he basically said, hey, Russia, no.
Welcome to the family.
Yes.
Well, you know.
He is good looking.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, you know, sometimes my friends love Prison Break, and I would go over to their house, and we'd be hanging out. And I would miss like 5 or 6 episodes. Wouldn't know what the fuck was going on, but I'd watch the hell out of that show.
It's so funny because he's not twinky, he's not bearish, he's like somewhere in that middle ground. He's got enough, like, yeah.
What wasn't the map to the prison on his body?
Yes,
let's take a look at that map.
One of my new favorite blogs, run by John McGovern and crew.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, you said John McGovern?
Johnny McGovern.
Okay,
yeah.
I was like, has he gone respectable?
No,
now?
No,
he's
no.
Like, I'm John.
He's always respectable. Mm. Respectably
well,
dirty.
Yeah, I was gonna say, come on.
But the gayest of all time, and they were talking about it, and they're like, you know, we're more surprised, not that he came out, that he came out as 40, because he looks good.
He looks really good for 40. Oof. Wow. So, and of course, they cast The Flash. And he's this little pale.
I know.
He's this pale looking guy with big hair.
Well, he's just pale in that.
Grant Gustin?
Yeah, he's just pale in that photo.
Okay.
He just picked the worst photo ever.
And he's a Glee alumni from the Warblers?
Yes.
Good guy.
Oh, man. He is cute as shit.
So, Wally West. Sex symbol for the.
Yeah. And they said he's going to be in 3 episodes in the second
season. Wally West?
Oh, I'm sorry. Not
Wally West?
Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
3 episodes.
Sorry, Wally West is my Flash.
He's going to be in episode.
We'll never let that happen.
He's going to be in like 2 middle episodes, and then he's going to be in the season finale, which will spin off into his own show.
I'm
and they said he's not going to get his powers until I think the last. Episode. Yeah, because they want
but now,
him to.
Is it going
to
be his own show, or they're doing a pilot first? Like,
I think it's already, straight to series, isn't it?
I don't know.
I haven't heard.
When I was reading about when you told me to go look it up, it said a pilot, didn't say show.
Oh, interesting.
So it's one of those.
It's just.
It's like that episode of Married with Children where Al only shows up for like 2 minutes, and it's like this random like father and son duo. You know what episode I'm talking about, Eric.
Wait, so is Arrow that like good in the ratings?
Yeah,
that it,
Arrow's done very well.
Really? Yeah. Okay, wow.
For a genre show, I think it's doing at least as well as Smallville, if not maybe even better.
You know what?
Well, that's good. Is anyone watching it?
Yeah.
I stopped.
Oh, really?
I love the show.
I need to go back and check it out.
It's not about Oliver Queen. It's about Red Arrow Roy. Oh, he's so fucking hot.
And freaking Barrowman's in it.
Who?
John Barrowman.
He's in everything. He's in that. He's in Scandal.
And River Song.
They are not in it.
Supposedly she's in it.
Kingsley's in it?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I know. We should be watching it. Or
good show.
But so, speaking yes. of CW, now, we all know my treaties on CW because they'll hook you into a show and then they'll cancel that bitch right from out from under you.
And yeah, shitty shows like Vampire Diaries get a fucking spinoff.
But here's the thing. Have any of you seen the trailers? Because they did a huge slew of them like a month ago for the new CW series.
So we're talking about the fall TV series.
Yes.
And I want to actually talk about that. I want each of us to kind of talk about the show we're excited about, whether it's a returning show or a new show. And I think I know which one you're talking about.
You're not getting that from me.
Oh, fuck.
So,
you don't have time
CW,
for TV anyway.
Fucking damn you for taking away my show. Secret Circle is dead. However,
dead.
They are bringing back my favorite childhood show, The Tomorrow People.
Really?
Yep. It is. I love The Tomorrow
People. So tell
people.
Us what it,
looks
it
like
is.
It's going to be really, really good.
It's like The X-Men, is right?
Yeah,
kind of. Except. Sometimes they have a spaceship. This time they're like the next step in human evolution or from the future.
Yeah, it's
we're not
almost
sure.
Superior.
Yeah, okay. But they have these mental abilities.
Alphas.
Yes, okay. Which is not coming back. God damn you, sci-fi.
Not coming back either?
You know, girl.
What was
we
that other? Heroes. What else? What else is
no,
like?
Heroes.
Season 1 was great.
But no.
That's all I watched. That's all.
Mental abilities, like telekinetic abilities, telepathic abilities.
And then one.
and then they can teleport. Yeah. Which was my favorite part. Uh-huh. And, oh, God. I love you, Megabyte.
No, Bamf. No, that'd be too much.
But
that'd sue.
They're bringing it back.
Now, isn't there a Doctor Who connection with Tomorrow People? Didn't
God.
Didn't like the guy that created the Daleks? Didn't he create Tomorrow People?
Oh, for fuck's sake, Brian. It's not 6 degrees of Doctor Who.
I'm serious, though. I think he did.
Rip that TARDIS dildo out your ass. Please. I love Doctor Who just as much as you.
All right, I'm gonna just do a little research here.
Oh, sweet merciful Christ!
Please proceed.
Thank you, Earl.
Did I mention I'm getting my TARDIS tattoo soon?
So, the Tomorrow People is coming back. Favorite show on Nickelodeon as a kid.
Aww.
It was a British import.
Do they sell Doctor Who dildos? You're saying get that out of my ass. I was sorry.
I'm going to leave now.
Anyway, so I'm excited about that. But that's not the only thing that CW's giving, like, their sci-fi supernatural shows. Did anyone else see this?
Which one?
Okay, so there's the originals. From the Vampire Diaries, which takes place, it's like Klaus in New Orleans. It's all
Klaus.
About the witches. So, girl, you know, we got to watch this.
I know.
I don't watch Vampire Diaries.
But you got to watch American Horror Story, too. That's all about the witches.
Yeah,
Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett.
Kate. What's her name?
So that's what
Kathy
you're...
Bates?
Are you excited about the Coven?
Yes.
No, that's going to be super cool. And I'm going to watch that. I'm going to be able to watch it.
What?
Let's go back. We need to rein it in.
To what?
CW.
Oh, CW.
They're also doing this Romeo and Juliet. We've already seen it before in Roswell, but it's called Starcross, and it's pretty much like Alien Nation, where these aliens end up as, like, refugees on Earth.
Yeah.
And
can they drink milk?
Kinda.
Do they like? Does it get them all fucked up?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But it's and they have those. They look like normal humans, but they have those kind of like trill spots.
Oh.
That, you know, they're aliens. That's their designator.
Yeah. With tattoos on their
head. Yeah. So that's coming. That's mid-season.
Let's expand our networks and to other shows.
I'm not finished yet.
Well, we're not doing.
Fuck you.
We're not doing
you.
A CW.
You just
commercial.
Mentioned Doctor Who. We're talking about. The CW.
We're talking
Fuck
about
you,
20
I'm talking.
Fall
I'm
TV.
Talking. I am talking. You are not. That's how this is
you're
working.
You're doing the thing with the hand. What is
anyway,
that?
Anyway.
It's like you're telling I'm talking.
It's really important mm-hmm. because the CW is putting out all of these sci-fi fantasy shows mm-hmm. like The 100, which is like these people in this dystopian society in space because Earth has been irradiated due to the last World War mm-hmm. are being sent back and they decide to rebel, and now you have all these like mutant hybrid like plant flora and fauna in this world yeah. and them trying to set up a society with it, plus they're doing this like Bloody Mary, the rain, kind of like the Tudors.
Oh my
CW.
God! Yes,
yeah, that looks terrible.
I did see that.
That looks terrible.
But bitch, you know I'm gonna watch it.
All right,
and now we can move on to whatever Doctor Who.
This is brought to you by the CW. Who are sponsoring this week's episode of Flame On.
You know what? You say this now, but when the CW is pulling it in like it did during the Dawson Creek era, then they're going to be coming to me. It's like, Oral was right. Bitch,
how long ago was that?
Crow.
How many
prepare
years ago was
crow.
That? Like 10 years ago?
It was the WB. Still.
Eric, yeah. What show are you excited about?
I'm curious, not excited about it, but curious about Sleepy Hollow.
That airs tonight, actually, when we're recording.
I know. I have a DVR.
I'm curious to you report back and let me know if I should bother.
Yeah, I tell you about it because I didn't know you were interested in it. But Brian might just cut me off for no damn reason.
That reminds me of my favorite Kanye West rap. So much head, I woke up in Sleepy Hollow.
Hey! I thought you meant Oral's grandstanding reminded you of Kanye West.
Your video is the best.
Joshua, what are you most excited about?
I don't really watch much TV. The only thing I watch is Breaking Bad, is because it's so good, and then Korra, because it's so good.
And Game of Thrones.
And Game of Thrones. Shows, so, can I say Game of Thrones?
What about...
There's like three TV shows.
Let me throw one out at you. I'll give you one. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I can see me not watching that. I could see me maybe checking out the pilot just to be like, oh, that's what that is.
You don't like Agent Coulson and...
I do. I don't have a huge crush on him like everyone else seems to. I enjoy Clark Gregg. Yeah. Although, wait, while we're talking about that, why is Loki so popular?
Because Tom Hiddleston is attractive, and it's the Doctor Who conundrum.
It's like a bunch of
wait. I'm sorry,
young
what?
Women find him.
Oh no! So this is where it's appropriate. Go ahead, John.
A bunch of young women find him attractive.
Here's your TARDIS dildo. You can put that up here.
Okay.
He's very attractive. And he plays that evil villain that you think might be really good in bed.
Sympathetic villain.
Exactly.
Yes. Interesting. Huh. Because they just went back and added a few more scenes in for Loki.
Really?
Yeah, they just did some more shoot. The movie's like almost done. It comes out
very soon.
In like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are just added more stuff. They went and filmed it. And there's a petition online that has like thousands and thousands of signatures for a Loki standalone movie.
Huh. Well, I'm glad he's doing well as that character. He does it very well. I mean, certainly even in like Kid Loki, I kind of hear or see a little bit of Hiddleston. So
no, yeah. In that Comic-Con, he came out as Loki and like worked the crowd in character, which apparently went over really well. And it was like the buzz
of
the
con. Talk about that later. So I have others I could go on about. I mean, I have the Dracula show. We didn't mention that on NBC.
What? Reese Myers.
Oh, he's hot. But yeah. What's it?
Looks sexy.
Now?
No. Period piece. Looks sexy. Sexy Dracula.
Dracula year zero, year one or something.
Yeah, like 1900s. Like vampires are there.
From a gay perspective, Sean Hayes has a new show called Sean Saves the World, playing a gay single dad. That's on NBC. That's exciting. I like Sean. Just Jack. That's right.
You know what that's called? Normal or Higher with not John Goodman.
And Almost Human is a show with Carl Urban from Star Trek and actually Chronicles Riddick.
Dread.
Riddickles.
Oh, yeah, he was in Chronicles of Riddick for 30 seconds. It was great.
Yeah, I heard. But I mean, he's going to be in like a sort of very Blade Runner-ish cop drama set in the near future with robots.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm interested in that.
Whereas where he's his robot partner is more human than he is.
Yeah. No, that sounds cool. I like Carl Urban too a lot. But
Me too.
Anyway, lots of good TV. And of course, Hannibal will be back in, I guess, the spring. And that show was excellent. If you have not watched
Hannibal
yet. Comic
books are my TV. I don't have time for actual shows.
So let's talk about Miley.
Oh, she's just being Miley, y'all.
I do not want to spend a lot of time on Miss Miley. But I will say this. The Wrecking Ball song.
The Twerking Ball?
The Twerking Ball. There is a video of this naked, bearish individual riding a big tire. Like a tire swing. And they're playing that Wrecking Ball clip where she's swinging.
Yeah.
And he hits the fence and then someone's off camera and goes, nailed it. It was really funny. You should look it up. I don't know. I don't care about Miley. Other than she's twerking it, and evidently that's like a minstrel show. Please explain that, Oral.
She's disgusting.
It was so bad.
Why is it like a minstrel show?
It's like a minstrel show because most of her backup dancers, well, a good portion of them were black, and she had them just shaking their asses, or they had like these teddy bears dancing for them. Mm. She shook her face in a black girl's ass. It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful to say the least. Just from
And
like
you're talking about the VMA performance. The VMA.
Yeah,
what we're talking
it's
about
just
here.
From a not even a professional standpoint, just from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah.
Nobody was digging that.
See, I think she was trying to do what Britney Spears did when she went to the adult and did that song Slave.
Yeah.
She had a tasteful outfit, she had a great dance routine, and it was hot.
But yeah.
But Miley
but that
just,
wasn't that. Ugh. That was not, she was sticking out her tongue, and I don't understand why everyone thinks twerking is something new.
No.
It's been around for decades.
It's called booty dancing in most places, and it's like, yeah.
Madonna came out with Vogue. It was like all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this
they're just
thing.
Like, bitch.
Well, the VMAs, the VMAs have a tradition.
I saw Paris is Burning, too.
They have a tradition of having an artist come out, whether it's Lady Gaga, Madonna, Britney, whoever.
Don't give me that tradition bullshit.
No, they do. VMAs are where these young artists come out, or somewhat established ones, and they want to make a thing.
They
want to
take their clothes off,
and they slut it up. So I mean, it's nothing new.
But no,
but I think we're saying it just wasn't well done.
No, and the song is terrible.
Yeah, the song sounds like a bad like Rihanna reject.
And who
song.
Gave her a foam finger? that was just awful.
And why was Beetlejuice on stage? That's what I want.
That's all very valid criticism. I am actually a proponent of Miley, and people were very shocked at everything she did, and like
with
her like twerking and blah blah blah, all this whatever. But she's actually been kind of behaving like that and doing kind of silly, crazy things.
For a while now.
It first sort of sparked when she put on a unicorn onesie and made like a black and white video of her twerking to the song called WAP. That's when I first fell in love with her.
The WAP.
And
Call her what it is. She's a wigger. She is.
yes. Sorry, wigger. It takes me back to middle school.
I know, really.
Yeah. That's wow. This is the definition.
Is she really?
Yeah, because you know what? There's a difference. Okay, I'm going to use just an urban term and then a gay, like, slang term. So there's a difference. If she was really, like, cool and down to earth and people liked her and she actually knew, like, she was actually a part of that community, she'd be a Banji girl. You remember Banji. Mm-hmm. She'd be a Banji bitch. And we would love her to death. But what she is, you know, yeah, I know I'm a white girl, but I'm a white girl who's down. I'm like, bitch, who said you were down? You were living off achy breaky heart money.
Well, no, she had I did read an interview today where she basically said, look, as a child, I was expected to act like an adult because I was in a career and I did all this stuff. She's like, now as an adult, I want to be a child. I want to be stupid.
It's funny. She's like all these Disney kids that fucking just snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amanda Bynes. Oh, wait, no, she wasn't Disney. But
oh, my God.
She's legitimately crazy, but people are treating Miley like she is on Amanda Bynes' level. But she's not.
She's not.
She's
no,
honestly,
she
a,
not.
I think she's a 20, 21 maybe year
she's
old girl.
She's engaged to Thor's sister.
Actually, they just broke that up today. Sorry. But we're not going to talk about that.
Yep.
Liam.
I was like,
Liam
I was
Hemsworth.
Hoping they broke her
up. Who turns but, down that?
But she's just a girl of college.
It looks like he left her.
He wasn't happy with the VMA performance, but she's acting like a college girl. She's a 20-year-old girl just having fun. She happens to be on top of the world.
It is true. College makes women actually less intelligent. It like their intelligence level just kind of dips down
and
they go through the party phase and then it comes back out.
That's not true of all women. Don't say that.
I will say this. I have many friends who are women, and a lot of them in college acted a bit.
I have many friends who are African Americans, so I can say colored.
I will. I'm not calling them hoes or anything like that. There are just a lot of women. I teach at a university. Hello, I know. I've seen, and for some reason, I'm not saying the men don't, but I've just observed women who come out of high school, like you know, very studious. That you know, they do really well, and then they go through the party crazy thing, and they just kind of I don't know. It's weird. It's
that's
weird.
Not intelligence. That's like the lifestyle of
so
like partying
choosing,
in college.
They're choosing.
And what about
their
the guys? Guys
poorly.
Do that too. So they're stupid. Everyone just gets a little stupid in college.
I expect men.
What,
to be
I don't
less
like the gross generalization of women getting stupid in college.
Expect,
what's that about?
Here's the deal. I expect more of women because I think they're usually smarter than most men. So I see these guys.
That's a double standard
acting,
if I ever heard it.
I don't
Who
care.
Are you?
Joshua,
I see,
have you realized? See now that he's not just being racist.
Oh,
he's being sexist.
I'm sexist and I think women are more intelligent than men. Yes, I am sexist. I
agree.
Right.
Now he's going to bring this back to Doctor Who.
I'm waiting for it.
In episode 17.
As a professor, I expect less of my male
Notice
students than my female
doctor.
Students. I'm not a doctor.
This
Shut
isn't.
I'm serious. I'm being very serious. As a very gross generalization.
Very gross.
No, this is going to be kind of... Please continue.
I expect more of my female students because I want to believe, and I might be just totally sexist about this, that women on the average are a little more thoughtful and devoted and studious than men in college. But what I have seen, unfortunately, is not always that. And I see these women come in, maybe in the beginning of their career, they're very studious, coming out of high school. They get caught up in the party stuff. They get caught up in the whatever, and they just go kind of, So that's what I've seen. I'm not, I don't know, Jared.
But that's not... Oh,
this,
sorry, go
this
on.
Is kind of just relating to Miley, but you know, as much of a big deal as people were making about it, you know, did they not pay attention to you know Fukushima, you know, leaking into the Pacific Ocean, you know, dangerous levels of radiation going
hey,
into
no,
the Pacific?
I'm thinking about going to Japan, and I'm just like. I'll be in the south.
Just right, you know, maybe
you think it's radiation.
Yeah, you know, about maybe 10 years we'll be seeing Godzilla. Yeah.
No, that doesn't matter. It's you know about Cyrus.
Yes, it's all about Miley.
You know,
Cyrus.
I can compartmentalize. I can have a rousing discourse about post-colonialism, or I can talk about celebrity trash. Miley, who I don't think is stupid, mm-hmm. who I think is very smart, mm-hmm. has just gone down this, I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to do what I please. And I
the lyrics
get
ever
the
song.
Whole, like, mm-hmm. you know, I had to be an adult, and mm-hmm. now I want to act like a child. Like, I've done it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it now. Hell, I left corporate America to work at a comic book store. I get it. But if you're like your shtick is presenting like pop culture and music and you look like the trash heap from Fraggle Rock having sex with like Coolio, I just know it's bad.
Yeah, it's very calculated, I think, and I think it was just badly executed. But I think she wanted to get a splash, and she did. So she
yeah,
was
and I will say, just we can end this now. But I'd like to say, just personally, twerking, you have to have a big butt for that. And
she got nothing.
What?
She's flat.
But I'm talking about me personally. I have a big butt. Okay. Really? I'm size 32 waist. Most people wouldn't believe that.
Oh, God. What a tragedy.
That's not... And for me, for my like frame, people don't believe me when I tell them that. But I have a big butt. And it's one dance move that's all butt. So I'm living it up every time I go to the club.
Oh, girl, and, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
You put your tongue out. Please tell
me.
Yeah,
and I pull my invisible hair. Like,
No. So have you guys, speaking of this, Miley, and actually Amanda Bynes, have you seen, what's the name of the song by Alan Thicke, or Robin Thicke?
Blurred Lines.
Blurred Binds by Vicky.
Vicky Vox.
Willem and.
Detox.
Oh, Will I am. Willem. Sorry.
Hilarious. Seriously.
Hilarious.
And I don't even know much about Miss Amanda Bynes other than she was a child star and she went a little crazy, whatever. That is some funny shit.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, they're on a roll. They did That Boy is a Bottom.
That's my
They were excellent at Parliament when we saw them perform, and they are fucking funny. So, moving on. Work Bitch. Anybody listen to it yet?
Work Bitch.
I've listened to it multiple times. I even listened to it as I was closing up tonight in the store, just saw multiple speakers blasting. And it's fun because it's not like you need a remix for it because it's its own remix.
Yeah.
Britney Spears' new single is just straight up, I'm going to pretend to be Azalea Banks. And I just recently saw this movie called Paris is Burning, y'all.
All right. But you like it as a song. No?
It's danceable.
Okay.
The lyrics are busted.
Well.
You know.
It's like super bad.
You know, it's
I hate that song. I listened to it once and I never want to hear it again.
Really?
And I'm a gay man who likes dancing to pop music, and this is super bad.
But you know what?
It makes Applause look like a masterpiece, which I just thought was like okay, which was like fun.
Slowly Applause.
I think Katy Perry won
me.
That little battle, I swear.
Although I hate that song.
Oh, I like
at
it.
Least Applause, it sounded like Lady Gaga wrote it, whereas Roar by Katy Perry sounded like someone engineered it. It took all these, like, oh, we're going to make a song they're going to play at sporting events and use for empowering things.
Well, because it's based on music, they do use it. I mean, it's that same like classic rock, you know, anthem.
Yeah.
Eye of the Tiger.
And then Britney Spears, you know. Someone was just like, yo, what are they playing at the clubs? Iggy?
Kind of
okay,
Swedish,
let's get some Iggy in there.
It was a Swedish EDM band.
And she can't sing anymore, so she uses this little baby voice. Martini.
No, she's never been able
to. It's awful.
I don't think she should have been good singer. Now, Doctor Who. There is the Series 7 soundtrack out. I'm serious. This is on the agenda. It's on the agenda.
Agenda before we sit down.
Joshua did, and Oral did this time. Well, you started it. That's okay. You start. You get a pass.
I get a pass.
You didn't put
I go back.
You put like next
I put
to nothing.
Some, yeah. I never put it.
But no, I want to say, because a lot of people don't know it's out. It's out. Series 7, the entire soundtrack for that whole series is out. And it's not on Amazon. You have to go to the
it's already too
BBC?
Complicated, Brian.
No, the Silver Screen, the album producer, or whatever, they sell it and you can get it, but for some reason Amazon doesn't have it yet. So it's excellent. I loved it very much. And they're putting out the Christmas specials, the last two, as a single disc coming out in October.
That's going to play on loop in this house during the month of December.
No. Okay, I play Christmas music.
And the first week in November. Well, the last week.
I do play the shark one, the opera singer singing, you know, with a flying shark is going around. I like that one. Now, I also want to mention of Monsters and Men, which I figured Joshua might be do you like them?
Yeah, I've listened to their CD. What about them, though?
I just discovered them because of the Walter Mitty trailer, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Yeah, awesome Ben Stiller movie.
Yeah, it looks really beautiful. But the song, Dirty Paws, from that, like, it's such a cool song. And it's like Mumford & Sons asked Bjork to be on as a singer.
Yeah.
And so it's got this awesome, and a little bit of, what's her name, Lights and...
Ellie Goulding.
Yeah, a little Ellie Goulding sort of sounding, too. But really, I love their little band. I hadn't heard of them.
Yeah, it's very reserved and really thoughtful lyrics and stuff. Some of it can get a little too like slow, and
yeah.
But it's very good sound. I enjoyed the CD.
Another little Icelandic band. So
everyone loves their name.
Yeah, they're of Monsters and Men. So we will move on to Cher. Speaking of gay and music, this was actually just out today. Cher has turned down the Sochi Olympics. She will not be performing there because, ta-da, they're a bunch of homophobes. So, yay, no Cher at the Olympics. I'm wondering now what singer or band will actually say yes. And will there be a gay backlash?
What Olympics?
The winter ones next year?
Oh,
Sochi, in Sochi, Russia.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
So I'm really curious now to what band will say yes, and will there be a backlash like there has been against Stoli and God knows whatever else. So we're all very interested. So I'll move on. Miss America, Nina Davuluri. Beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
Indian. What did you say?
She's not Native American. She's Indian American.
Indian American.
You racist.
She's Native American.
No. I think she's gorgeous. I really do. And I haven't seen her perform her Bollywood number, but I actually really want to.
I watched it. It was pretty hot. It was awesome.
I don't watch TV, but you watch Miss America?
Well, no.
I heard about
up.
It after the fact when I heard how the internet completely bashed her and was calling her like a terrorist and a Muslim.
What?
And
oh, yeah.
And
Mrs.
all these.
7-Eleven instead of Miss.
Yeah. It was some pretty. Like, you know, what we'd expect from the internet, but we're supposed to live in a, I use this in air quotes, post-racial society. And she's from New York, and what is more New York than a you know, American Indian woman, you know, making her way?
Yeah. No, I think she's beautiful, and I'm just so thrilled that she got it.
See, this is why I only watch Miss Universe.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of Miss...
The rich white women?
Speaking... Oh, because it's representative of the whole world, is that why?
Yes.
I got you. Well, speaking of Miss America, right coming up is Missed America, which our friend Chantel Roche is competing in.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But didn't I host a fantastic show with her?
Yes. In fact, that's what I was going to mention. Very
Play
soon...
The flashback music.
Oh, Lord.
Cute.
No. Are we flashing back to the recording that hasn't come out yet?
Yes.
Oh, that's not going to work. So, this will be coming up very soon in the feed. If you are listening to this a little time after this has been released, you might actually see it in the feed. It is the first episode of Drag is the New Spandex.
Yes.
Our ongoing titled microsode. So, you know, it'll be Flame On Presents, or it'll be something, we're not sure. But Drag is New Spandex, and Oral is the host.
I am.
Pat and I are your lovely assistants.
Yes, you guys do a wonderful job.
And that we basically do all the work, and you show up and get to interview them.
Yes! It's a dream! I feel like Wendy Williams.
Seriously, though, we have drag queens very excited about this. I've talked to at least three that are ready to go.
Ooh, I have three more interviews lined up. My people.
You will have more than
blah,
this.
Blah, blah,
blah. Because it is our hope that we will use this as a springboard to reach out to the community at large. Right now we have a couple local people who are fabulous, but we would like to reach out to people who have made it
Pandora Box
is on our hit list. Yeah. No question. So if you have a drag queen that you either, they don't have to have any notoriety whatsoever, if you think their story needs to be heard, we would like to know. Please let us know. FlameOnShow.com or FlameOnShow on Facebook.
And ladies and gentlemen, there was laughter. There were tears.
It was 2 hours that I felt were very special, and I had been drinking a bit, so that probably helped. But I mean,
it went full on Sisterhood of the Traveling.
It was
good.
And what was funny is we kept wanting to basically like wrap it up. We thought, okay, well we've gotten enough, and she wanted to keep going. So we're like, all right.
And you know me, I know that I talk a lot, not like most people in
what
room, who don't realize it.
You were. Good.
But I was so super proud.
I was very proud of you.
And it was like the best interview like we've done yet. And it can only go downhill from there. But
seriously. I'm very excited about the people we have lined up because the point isn't just to make the comparison of drag and superheroes and all that, which is still true, but I want to get their stories. And some of these queens that we know have been performing for years, and if Chantel is any indication, they have some amazing stories.
Yes.
I'd love to get out there.
Yes.
So that's coming up.
Well,
so
you went from Marvel Cosmic to this, huh?
I'm super excited about this new series. I mean, I really wanted to call it All Queens and Me, but that didn't happen.
Oh, God. Just be thankful we didn't insist you be called Dieter Ritz the whole time.
I don't sound like Dieter Ritz.
Oh, so you
I
do.
Love Dieter Rex.
You so do.
I don't sound like Dieter Rex.
So let's move on to some comic books, which is, of course, what many of you have said is just your favorite part of the show. The section about comic books, like, is just our best thing ever.
Right. You suffered through everything, and now you're here. Or you've skipped ahead, so here's the comic books.
There's some news and some controversy that we need to kind of get out of the way. One story, which, of course, involves Miss Batwoman, is actually not nearly as controversial as it seemed like at first. J.H. Williams III and W. Hayden Blackman were the creators of the book, or not the creators, but people working on the book, and they wanted to have Batwoman, her alter ego, what's her name?
Kate Kane?
Yeah. They wanted to have her get married on page with her fiance,
Maggie Sawyer.
Yes, Maggie Sawyer. And lesbians. DC said, we don't want you to have the wedding on the page. And I guess they did this at the last minute, so that's the kind of playing along with the idea that DC's editorial is very invasive, sometimes changing their mind or what have you. And many people got very bent out of shape because they thought it was an anti-gay thing.
Okay. Well, also, that's not quite, again, that's not as bad as some of the headlines I saw, like DC's homophobic, DC bans gay marriage. It's even less pointed against gay marriage as what you just said. It's really, they wrote a letter to why they were leaving, and they said DC made a lot of last minute editorial changes. There's a lot of editorial interference on decisions that they had made for the story years ago,
leading
and planning and building towards, and DC, and they had enough, so they quit. And he said some of these things were, you know, we had like this storyline going here, and like this villain with Killer Croc, we were going to do this, we had to change that, and they wouldn't let us show Batwoman getting married, even though she's engaged right now, and that was just like one tiny thing in a list of bigger issues. So that wasn't the focus of why they were quitting.
No, you're right.
But people blew up, and of course, rightfully so, because you know it wouldn't be the first time that something like that would happen. But that was not the case. They've come out and said that the creators and DC used their Twitter to like squash the rumor, which they never do that. So you could tell how like sensitive they were to it. But I just think it really does suck because they're doing such a great job with her.
So now that's that. Okay, J.H. Williams is also supposed to be teamed up to do the Sandman. Now is that going to interfere? Since that's
I don't think so.
No,
he said no. That's like two separate things.
Yeah,
and he hasn't destroyed his relationship with DC. Like it wasn't like they had a very actually professional like departure from the book just because they just disagreed. It wasn't like a big Rob Liefeld.
I'm leaving.
Yeah, it wasn't like Rob Liefeld who just
but
like,
they do sign NDAs, and I'm wondering because they signed the NDAs, is that a violation of that? So,
no, Sandman. They've been
like
so
Sandman, they're not.
No, they've been so vague about when Sandman's actually coming out that they will not delay it any further.
Probably not. But I mean, this was a big sort of tempest in a teapot. But it brought up the issue of should characters be allowed to get married on the books? And a lot of the idea now, both Marvel and DC, is that no, characters should really not be getting married, shown being as married. It kind of takes away options for the storytellers, and that's an interesting debate.
The only character who's married is Aquaman. Animal Man,
Aquaman is not married.
No, you've got it reversed. Animal Man is married and is about to get a divorce.
Like separated.
That's what it's looking.
I'm pretty sure Aquaman's married.
I just read an article today, and they said actually they're not married, which I was surprised too.
They're not?
No.
No.
They just refer to each other as like the king and queen, but they've just been in a long-term relationship for so long.
I read this today. That's why I'm saying it with such certainty. I don't remember.
I've read it in multiple articles.
Yeah,
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, so it just shows you that it wasn't just this gay people can't get married.
No.
It's just that none of their hair, they don't want them. And I mean, it's probably better that way.
Well, and the new writer coming on.
Look at how angry people get.
The new writer coming on, I forgot his name. We just talked about on Comic Book Bears.
Homosexual.
He's gay as well.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
This is a move because DC and Marvel, they want the characters to be younger and more approachable. And all I keep thinking of is, all your mamas, the clock and dollars, throw your hands up at me.
Blink,
all
blink.
You ladies, what?
I don't know.
I got it oral.
Thank you.
What is it? Single ladies? I don't know.
Charlie, I didn't know your angels could get down like that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Cameron D and Destiny, Charlie's angels.
That probably
question.
Was,
tell me what you think about this. You know what? I'm not even.
That was probably the
She's
era.
On my feet, I bottom.
I wasn't allowed to listen to that kind of music. I'm just saying. That was probably that era.
How old are you?
36. When did it come out?
Honey, this we recent? Were in our like, late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, whatever.
Think of Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Destiny's Child.
Child of Destiny.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I chose not to listen to that kind of music then. That's what it was.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it was black. Exactly. And we all know he's a sexist racist.
Listen. I'm not going to even go there. So let's talk about Harley Quinn committing suicide in creative ways.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this? I read this today too. Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti were two of the people involved in this, and the whole thing was meant to like, hey, if you guys want to submit your original art, we'll put this in an upcoming issue. I guess they're going to do a Harley Quinn series.
Yeah, it's like
yeah.
And which by Amanda Connor, I'm very excited. And it was like meant as a joke, like this is sort of we're making fun of the ridiculous. This oversexed sort of dark thing that DC is doing now. So here are some examples. Come up with something for that. And people just took it the wrong way and got all bent out of shape and thought, oh, DC, oh, they're pushing.
Watch Harley Quinn to commit suicide. I was like, what?
And so.
Well, even that could have been funny if there was, you know, in the proper term.
But well, but I mean, it was time. Meant as a, it was meant as a pastiche or a rule of satire about the way it's being portrayed now. So, like, that I read that today. I was like, oh,
supervillain suicide. Don't do it.
Yeah. What they did was they wrote the script and all that was in the script of her like wearing meat and going into a crocodile pit and doing all these ways to, and then she was in the bathtub and she's about to like pull like a cord or something to let all these electronics fall into the bathtub with her while she's naked. And the thing is, even though they can come back now, like, oh, no, it's satire, it's like a joke, blah, blah, blah.
I think they were right.
It wasn't in the script. Nothing in the script led you to believe it was being satirical or that they should draw it with that tone or anything.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, and that's their fault, as the writers.
Again, this is an example.
It was poor taste, especially for an art submission. Shouldn't you have them draw, superheroes, not naked women killing themselves in bathtubs?
Unfortunately, this is a trend of DC maybe not making the most appropriate decisions with their public face, but at the end of the day, I trust Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. They are very funny. They do this kind of stuff. They did it with Power Girl very well. Not so much the suicide thing, but just the sort of poking fun at the character and all that. So,
question:
yes,
are any of us actually excited about the Harley series? Because no. I'm not.
Now that I know that they're doing it, yes.
See, the thing is that I understand where DC knows that what side of the bread is buttered. Like that, it's just.
That's
Harley,
exactly what it is.
Batman. It's just, do we need another Batman title? Do we
need
another?
She's a moneymaker. That's the thing. It's pure moneymaker.
Yeah.
But if it's handled correctly, and Amanda Connor's great, and Jim Palmiotti's great, it could be a good book.
Yeah.
If.
It, yeah.
If.
Oh, and Justin Gray. I'm sure he's there somewhere.
He's
always
there. Can someone explain that to me? Why is it always Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray?
I don't know.
They're all sleeping together. Okay?
Supposedly he is a real person. That I wasn't sure about. I was like, oh, maybe he's just somebody to share the blame. I don't know. But no, I asked him. I think I asked Amanda at one. I asked
he's
one
never
of the two.
At conventions or whatever.
Well, I know.
He's
a tour, but I think he's
it,
real.
It makes no sense to me that are their stories so good that they like that when they work together that you can't have them be separate? And also, the money in comics isn't so great
know,
it's that
true.
It's worth splitting,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, no. Well, Palmiotti did pretty well with Marvel, and so I don't know. But let's move on, because we have some actual books we want to talk about that are here and now. In fact, I know in the agenda we usually start with indie, but since we're talking about Harley and DC stuff, let's talk about DC first.
Do the villains?
Yeah, I mean, Harley got one of the villains, what do they call it? Villains United Month? Villains Month?
Forever Evil.
Yeah, Villains United is their old thing they did. But I read the Harley one because Chris Burnham did the cover, and I love Chris Burnham's art. But I didn't really think that it was Batman Incorporated. No, you didn't like? You don't like their art?
No.
I like it.
No.
It's very Frank Quitely, but sort of cartoony.
Her boobs were so lopsided. I'm sorry.
They were so lopsided.
She's about to have a double mastectomy. How dare you?
So did any of us enjoy any of the Villains Month books?
I really liked the Zod one.
Okay.
I didn't expect that to be good, and even the story didn't go anywhere crazy or new or anything, but just the way it was told by Greg Pak, who's taking over Action Comics, the way he did it was just so good, and the art was really good. There's this shot, it starts with Zod, and it's with like his scientist parents, and are off in the jungle looking for, and they're like capturing like beasts, like little like samples, and then, I don't know. So,
the Jungle Boy.
Yeah, and then his parents get eaten by monsters, and he's alone in the jungle for a year, but he's Zod. And he's like crazy. And then this rescue team finds him a year later, and he's covered in like beast hides, and he's got like a handmade bow and arrow. And he looks like a lost boy, but like a badass lost boy. And I just that image of him, like, he is a monster. He's like home amongst the monsters. Well, there's nothing for him to survive.
He says that to the ruling council of Krypton. He's like, I am your monster.
Yeah.
I will be the worst thing you can imagine to save, to keep you safe, to keep Krypton safe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like it tied into some of the plot, not the plot, but just the feel of the movie, of the recent movie, Man of Steel, in that, you know, they know each other. And I know this, a lot of this is drawn from comics over the years, but like, it reminded me of that. The fact that he was born of a scientist family was kind of surprising. I didn't think that would be the, you know. But I don't know. It was okay. I'm kind of curious now if Pac brings him into action. Right. As, you know. Yeah,
that's actually a very unclear thing to me about this Villains Month thing. Is like, for What's example, Green Lantern, they had Mongol. But you didn't really, weren't really sure when the story took place. And I was like, nor did they tease that Mongo was going to be up in a story. They were just like, hey, this guy has fought Green Lantern. Let's do a story about him. And it's completely isolated. It was by Jim Starlin. It's like, did they just like let Jim Starlin write a story because it's Jim Starlin and this has nothing to do with Green Lantern? Or is this going to come into play?
It's,
you know,
weird.
It was very... weird.
Yeah, because it's showing things from the past. First, I thought it was all origins. It was going to be all origins, one shots, and then it starts relating to what's going on with the Forever Evil.
Yeah,
and
like couple of Black Manta, his like ties in.
Yeah,
like you literally see his point of view from the whole event.
But I mean, like, only a couple of them that I read had anything to do with Villains United or I keep saying it, Forever Evil. Like, a lot of them were just standalone, not even origin stories. Like the Joker was about Joker's pet ape or monkey or something, and it was like, what the fuck? What?
It was interesting, and I love the art in the beginning of it when it goes into a little bit of his past.
Yeah.
I thought it was really creepy and weird.
It was weird.
But then it went to a...
bizarre.
But it's the same person who wrote and drew it is doing that Damien series. One of the Cubits.
Is it one of the Cubits? Okay. Well, I don't know. A lot of them were bad. The Relic one was actually... Relic was good. Yeah.
I liked Cyborg Superman.
Because it took
a character I hated and made it, oh my fucking God.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my... It's can I say it?
Yeah.
Here goes spoiler.
It's Kara's father. Brainiac comes
Supergirl's
in. Remake Supergirl's father into Cyborg.
Yeah, it's like
Supergirl.
Zor-El.
Holy shit.
Different.
Yeah, rips out
Hank Henshaw's all
heart.
Gone. Huh?
No,
yeah, thank God, because I hate that guy.
Yeah,
that Fantastic Four ripoff.
The one part I thought was, I was like, what? Is when Brainiac's like building him up. He's like, and deface him and remake him in the superior countenance of Jor-El. And I was like, damn, he's calling you ugly.
Yeah, he's calling you ugly and saying you're worse. You know,
yeah, he turns it from a blonde to a brunette and makes him look like Jor-El.
Wow, that is messed up.
Yeah. So that was fucked up. So I enjoyed that one.
And it made me almost want to read Supergirl.
I know, I'm curious, because
he's like in Supergirl
issues.
Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no, yeah, I read
so
the issue before. That's cool.
Yeah.
What about the actual Forever E? Oh, I'm gonna one more thing. Darkseid. I don't remember what
Thanos?
Darkseid.
Oh, yeah, Darkseid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't remember what. Actually, no, Darkseid came first.
No, but the story that was, it was right.
Yeah, it was right. Actually, did remind me. You're right. So, but is that very similar to his actual origin?
I don't know. That's the first time I got it. Because
I have those Kirby Fourth World books, and I think I've read them, and I don't remember. I don't actually think Kirby even dealt.
No, that's not his. That's like a new take.
Yeah, and actually, it might have been a Starlin
edition.
So it's
him and Highfather are brothers?
Yes. Well,
they're friends.
No,
right?
No, they're
friends.
No, they were. I think they're related by marriage.
Yeah,
I think they're related by marriage.
The wife gets killed or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So Highfather's wife was Darkseid's sister.
Okay. All right. So they're really not related.
But
at all.
I do like that he basically killed the old gods. It wasn't that the old gods.
Yeah, Jack
died.
And the Beanstalk.
He totally took them down and took their power. So that was kind of cool. But Forever Evil itself. One thing I was a little confused about, and I understand it's a storytelling device, but it seems very weird. The end of Trinity War, basically they reveal that this little Pandora box is like a mother box and can open a boom tube to bring over the Earth 3 people.
And an Aquaman shows up and dies.
Well, they're equivalent Aquaman, right?
Sea King.
Which is kind of funny, yeah. But then they don't really reveal, or that series just kind of ends with a cliffhanger.
Right.
Yeah, we have no idea what happened to the Justice League or anybody.
Right, and then this new stuff starts up, and oh, they've already taken over. Everything's kind of done.
And they're like, the Justice League is dead, and they're like throwing the Superman's cape, and Wonder Woman's lasso, and Aquaman's trident.
And we, of course, know that's not what happened. But,
what was it, Monocle? I never heard this freaking guy before. And the minute he started talking, I'm like, oh, you're a dead man. I've never heard
Red
of you.
Red shirt villain, yeah, that was pretty funny.
But I love Ultraman freebasing.
Oh my God. The crack kryptonite. That was hilarious. And then, of course, the let's move the moon in front of the sun.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Actually, they explain that in Black Manta. Well, we don't see any repercussions of it, but Black Manta is like on the coast when that happens, and he gets like caught up in a huge tidal wave, and they show Ultraman. And he's like, "Oh, I didn't think about that. The tides." Yeah, so it's like an afterthought
that's
that he just
funny.
Ruined the world.
Well, supposedly,
but then the best line to come of moving the moon was it forced Lex Luthor to say, "This looks like a job for Superman." And I was like, "What?"
That was pretty funny.
The Lex Luthor looks like he's going to be sort of the lead of Forever Evil. I love it.
Well, what I also loved is the fact, and I heard this on iFanboy actually today, when Black Manta had his villains tie-in. Yes. Like, he's like, "Oh, you killed Aquaman? All right, I'm done. I'm good. I'm out." Like, he basically didn't. He's like,
"I have no purpose."
Yeah, I mean, that's all I cared about. So, see ya.
Yeah, and then, Ultraman wrecks the oceans and the world by moving the moon. And he's like, "Okay, maybe I have a new purpose now that my old purpose is gone."
Which is actually
a
good
thing.
And
is that is great.
Yeah, that was messed up. But, which is just sort of fight the evil.
So that's kind of cool.
I will say that while certain aspects, and we're only halfway through one of the most difficult months for working at a comic book store.
Do you have any copies of like the 3D covers?
Do you have any Harley? No, I don't fucking have any fucking goddamn Harley. Shut your fucking mouth.
Do her boobs like pop out?
I don't know. I didn't see them. I don't care.
Yeah, so what's our take? We've all seen the 3D covers now.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
They just add depth.
Were they worth the madness?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's the thing.
Some have
an
animated move, like the Joker, like the teeth chatter when you move.
Some of them move, some of them don't. And that's the thing is that, you know, you can put all of these flashy covers on these like books, but for the most part they're throwaways and not very good at all.
This is the 90s incarnate, I feel like,
and
because
at least it's not the little hologram cards now,
which I kind of thought those were cool.
And the thing is that you know, Forever Evil, DC swore up and down that the internet would, like, Nightwing's going to make the internet explode and
didn't even pop. That was
nothing. That was, like, supposed to be such a big deal.
Unless they kill him later. Ooh, maybe.
And the thing is that, okay, so we only got the first, like, iteration of the story. Mm-hmm. I wasn't impressed. Like, I'm really bored. And the problem is, if they don't change their course for, like, fans like me, this thing goes on till fucking March.
Well, it was one issue, okay, and it was just a major setup, but the whole thing with Nightwing, I'm sorry, if you're going up, you're a human going up against Ultraman and Superwoman, you're dead. You have a barbed wire lasso wrapped around your neck.
Yeah, right.
You're dead.
Wait, that wasn't, I think they used Wonder Woman's lasso, didn't they?
No, it was hers. It was Superwoman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Cheetah got the lasso.
And he had like a broken tooth. What the fuck?
Yeah. Although, I heard Geoff Johns explain it in an interview on IGN. You can go look on IGN.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, they took out the Justice League. So who's the most experienced person with, like, the most knowledge and who would be the biggest threat? Is Nightwing. He's at the top of the next generation of heroes with the Justice League knocked out. He's sort of the top dog now.
Makes sense.
So that's why they went after him.
Well, they got rid of Donna. She could have been Nan Wally, but no.
Yeah. Aww. Can't wait for that.
I'm excited they mentioned Ted Kord sort of in passing.
Being extorted.
Well, the dad is, not Ted.
Yeah.
Extorted.
So he might be the new Blue Beetle. I mean, they might bring him back. That'd be cool. Although I can't imagine after all the media that Jaime, is that the other Blue Beetle?
Jaime,
after he's gotten all that attention, I can't believe they would go back and do a Ted Kord thing. But
Who knows what they'll do? Hopefully they won't make it really awful. Like some other things have been.
Are there any other DC books really that exciting
right
now?
That's all that's going on now.
Honestly, that's the big thing, so...
I'm excited for Lights Out just to see
what's
up with that. Did we talk about that? They like fucked over the Blue Lanterns.
Oh my God. Yeah. I actually read that.
Last year, Tony Bedard had the Reach, which are the villainous Blue Beetle people, come and destroy the Blue Lantern planet and take their battery. And then now Justin Jordan just had a Relic come in a display of power, suck up the Blue Lantern battery, and kill all the Blue Lanterns except one.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Why are we picking on these guys so much? They're my favorite core.
Oh, they're terrible. There is no hope.
All will be well.
Listen, hope is always crushed, but it's never extinguished.
And there was an awesome, awesome giraffe Blue Lantern.
Yeah, he's dead now.
I'm sorry. He or she.
I'm just sad the little elephant guy got killed.
Yeah, the elephant.
You mean Ganesh?
Ganesh. Oh, the way they drew it, though, it was very much the monks immolating themselves. Did you notice
that?
I was like, oh, my God, come on. But no, I'm excited about Lights Out. I wasn't until I read the Relic origin. I'm like, okay, I got to go with the Galactus thing.
I liked that origin, but I feel like it didn't shed any light on Relic as a person. You know, I feel like anyone could have been in that spot.
You're right.
And it would have been the exact same story. It was cool about, you know, resources. Going away, and that the universe has its own sort of like oil that can
and
be
basically
tapped.
He's going, I told you so, damn.
I'm making a leap because I'm bored.
And it's so he's
Relic is to the universe what Jor-El was to Krypton.
No,
I said I made a leap because I was bored.
It's more like Galactus.
I think he's just
Galactus.
He's the Galactus.
He's
totally Galactus.
Well, no.
He's
in
giant.
In
he's
practice.
The last survivor of a universe. And,
no, I'm saying...
But he doesn't have the munchies.
Wait a minute. I was saying in practice, like, we all know that Relic from the old universe into this one is Galactus. That's easy. But I'm saying... Jor-El is to Krypton what he is like, hey,
Chicken
listen,
Little.
I told you.
You know, we really need to do something
Chicken
about
Little.
It.
Chicken Little.
And instead of...
Sky's
fall. Yeah, he's well, I'm just going to do what I do until the end. And then he gets tossed to a new planet or a new system where he gets all these incredible powers because nothing works for him. And, like, he's just like the Green Lantern version of Superman who's gone bad.
That wall, right?
Yeah.
And the source wall.
That's cool. I think that was the first...
Was that actually the source wall?
Of that concept.
Little fourth world thing going. But let's move on to more. Or actually, let's go back to indie stuff because I don't want to end. Well, do you want to end? Let's end with the best. And the best, I think, is the indie stuff. So we'll do Marvel next. And since we're talking about big events, other than Forever Evil, the next biggest, if not bigger event, is
Infinity.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's three huge events.
I almost
right
wanted
now.
To make a battle.
That's not expensive or anything.
No, Jesus.
Wait,
but
three? Infinity, Battle of the Atom, what's
that's
the
it.
Other one?
Forever
three.
Evil.
Yeah, okay. Those are three. So Infinity, I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Hickman fan. Yeah. And I think the way he's telling the story is very good. If you're not reading the tie-in Avengers tie-in
Avengers
books,
and New Avengers, those are the mandatories.
Well, if you're not, they're retaking certain key moments from them, and they're putting them in the main book. So if you're reading both, you're actually kind of like, oh, I just saw this. Wait
a minute. I'm not that way. I mean, maybe because I don't pay for them. But I'm just like, for me, it's playing out this huge issue, and instead of like, I'm not reading all of the tie-ins. Like, if I'm already reading
you're
that series,
Avengers Assemble.
No, actually, I thumb through that. I'm just like, ooh, bitch, Kelly Sue DeConnick.
I love Kelly Sue.
No, but here's the thing: like, if you were reading Avengers and New Avengers before you were before Infinity, you are loving this
it's
event,
paying off everything.
Yeah,
I love it.
If you're not, and you're using this as a bridge to read Avengers and New Avengers, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're reading like Thunderbolts, I don't know why, but if you're reading Thunder, well, Charles Soule, is he still on the book?
Yeah.
Okay, I should give it
a shot.
He's
pretty good.
Like, some of the tie-ins are great.
Yeah.
Some of them are just whatever. They're
how
tie-ins.
Is Mighty Avengers?
Cricket. Wow.
Oh,
not even a breath.
The only
any of
thing
us.
I care about is I want to know who the little guy in the Spider-Man outfit is. Not Superior Spider-Man. We know who he is.
How do you say it? Spendius? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
The Splendiferous. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm really curious about that. But that's about it.
I
love Nick Cage. Just called Luke Cage. I love all the characters. I even love
Spectrum.
Yeah.
Who was Captain Marvel.
Who was Photon.
Yes.
Monica Rambeau.
I loved her in Next Wave
for a while.
Yeah. And Next Wave, she was amazing.
Yeah, she was in Next Wave. And the thing is, that joke and that recurring joke is like, Monica Rambeau was Captain Marvel for a while. I was Photon. I ran the Avengers. Nobody. They're like, who is Spectrum? Monica Rambeau? Who? Photon. Who?
Yeah.
The other Captain Marvel. She likes the fucking Avengers!
Yeah. But, I mean, the main book is excellent. If you like space battles, you got that. If you like political and sort of, like, dynastic intrigue, like Dune-level science fiction-y intrigue, you got that with the Inhumans component. I don't know. It's
speaking
just so much.
Of that, Matt Fraction left Fantastic Four and
we
FF.
We talked about that last time.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I'm just still not over
it. I was kind of sad that he left FF because I really like that.
Inhumanity better be great.
Well, I feel like it's going to be big and it's going to be good.
I hope so.
They're really trying to.
I feel like it'll be more. It's not. He doesn't have the same, you know, the restrictions that he had with Fantastic Four. Like anything that he, I feel that he has restrictions on, aren't as good as when he's just like, here you go, go crazy.
Oh, sure.
Like FF.
Yeah. But FF is so good. And I hope Allred, I think he's writing it and drawing it, is going to be still pretty solid. But I don't know, man. I'm just, he's killing it with it. What other Marvels? Battle of the Atom.
I'm really enjoying that. It's, yes. It's very. Oh, whereas,
let's give Eric his moment.
I'm so pretty. Oh,
so.
For those that, any new listeners, Eric is under the delusion that he's
I am
Grey.
Jean Grey.
Well, I thought you were Wonder Woman.
That's in DC.
No.
I could cross universe. I'm the fucking Phoenix.
Now we know. No, so in the second issue, they reveal that the Zorn looking
Zorna.
Character, Zorna. Yeah.
Lady Zorna.
Is actually Jean Grey from the future. And it's
wearing, giving you a man in the Iron Mask feel. Yeah.
She's the original Jean Grey all grown up from the future.
Right.
Coming back.
How do you know she's the original, though?
Because she says to Kitty, you made us a promise. So she's the kid who was put into the future that now grew up.
Yeah. That's what I meant. When you said original, I thought you meant like the before.
I meant the basic,
young Jean Grey. Okay.
Basic bitch Jean Grey.
Marvel
crazy
girl.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo.
So I don't know what the deal is with her mask. Why does she have to keep it on?
She said her power. Did that come out?
Yeah.
Okay. that her powers are too strong.
Okay.
So she has to put the mask back
on. I wondered if it was keeping like the Phoenix out of her or something.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. They haven't really said what. Yeah. But something's too much.
Didn't come out, did it? The thing I'm about to say comes out this week.
Well, I would like to see when Cyclops sees her. I would like to see when Cyclops, I guess, is going to meet her pretty soon.
Yeah. One thing I didn't understand is that. Oh God,
it's so good.
You read ahead.
Who's the artist on this? The Uncanny.
Oh, they're bouncing around.
Yeah. No, but I mean Uncanny. Do you remember
Bob Pacillo?
Oh, okay.
Uncanny.
Okay, that's fine. I just wasn't sure if it was Fraser.
I didn't get was in the first issue of Battle of the Atom when Kitty's team met up with Cyclops' team and they were like all buddy buddy. Like, isn't Cyclops kind of like a bad guy?
No, they were kind of douchebags at first. Then the Sentinels attacked and they realized they had to join forces.
Yeah, but Kitty was like, let's get him, Scott, or something like that. She was like smiling.
Well, this is the thing. I've seen this a couple times played out in my life, so I can speak with experience. You have this relationship with someone you're very close with, like let's say your brother, and then some shit goes down and you're not talking to each other for a couple months at a time.
I feel like this is just like
you're still deeply connected and you're still your brother or your friend or your co-teammate or whatever, but you just have a profound philosophical or some kind of drama or whatever's gotten in the way. And even like sometimes it takes those events, those really just spontaneous or like mutual enemies or whatever, bringing you back together, and then it's kind of like we're back together and it's like it didn't happen. So I felt like that moment, not that they're gonna go right back to being buddies or anything because they still have a very profound difference of opinion, but that was that moment when they could reconnect and just like old times.
Right, it was just it was the Sentinels. So. Cyclops took out those Sentinels.
No, and I felt like that was well written and well and believable.
So. Oh, like he's like, oh, my powers don't work.
Well, everything's
that's all. Yeah.
Even like Magneto's doing like precise thing with his magnetic stuff, and I was like,
the only person who really looked like he got shafted was Emma. She's like, I have no mental powers, but I got my girls
who don't really love me anymore, and they kind of
they can't stand me, but I got my girls.
And they're bleaching their hair, they're dyeing their hair, they're all kinds of crazy.
One of them is venturing.
This is such a good event, and I'm so pleased with the fact that. This is a big event, but it's not like, you know, it's just in the little group of books. No. Yeah. It's only 2 months, like 8 issues. I mean,
I like how fast it is. Yeah.
I love events like that. People complain, but I'm just like, what would you rather have? A book like, not to rag on it, Forever Evil, that 7 issues
drags on
over 7 months, or an event that changes the status quo just like that.
Yeah.
And it's done in 2 months, and chances are, if you love these characters, you were reading all those books anyway.
You really think this is going to change the status quo much?
They say it's going to. They said it's going to change it.
Because I know they have already been solicited.
Does Jean stay?
Well, they've already been solicited to show the Uncanny, or not the Uncanny, but the All New are sticking around, so... At least a couple of them.
Don't spoil that for me.
That's not what they said.
Don't spoil that for me.
That's not what they said. They're like, in the wake of Kitty without certain students, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So they're probably going to shake up the teams or something. You know?
I'm enjoying this. So I just want to... And it's very... Whereas Infinity is this big, huge, crazy thing. And there's like in Thanos and this is just really just a bunch of people trying to like...
It's very personal.
Talk to... Yeah it's exactly. Very like grounded and...
I love the third issue because it spent time with Scott and Jean. And we haven't seen them. And this
they're
is
like checking each other out.
Well, okay, first...
changing their clothes.
She goes to Beast. Well, and she's like, come with me. He's like, no.
No.
And she's like, oh, Scott.
What are you saying?
So obviously,
she a hoe.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a teenage girl with the most powerful teenage girl in the world.
She's not in college yet. That's funny. I'm just kidding.
She's just being Miley.
No.
She's not twerk.
You know what? Here's the thing. Like, Jean Grey throughout Marvel, this new, like, spate of her, mm-hmm. and Ultimate and regular 616, she's been a fucking bitch. I will say, though, that I give more slack to... like regular Jean Grey, mm-hmm. because like they're like, oh, it's time for you to go back. P.S. You're gonna die twice. Yeah. And she's like, what teenage girl is going to be okay with? What
anybody?
What person?
No,
is, yeah, is gonna be okay with that? We're like, we need you to sacrifice yourself twice over because that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Very true. Now, what about Avengers Arena? Isn't that wrapping up?
It is wrapping up. It's going to turn into something else.
Okay.
And isn't the heist the bridge?
No, the hunt.
The hunt. The hunt.
The Infinity tie-in, the 4-issue series called The Hunt.
Yeah.
It's really, like, I'm a sucker for, like, the teenage stuff.
Uh-huh.
The hunt's pretty good. It's the first issue. There was a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. but those two books complement each other because they're dealing with, hey, where do all these kids go? I guess they're all just skipping school and they're actually fighting for their life.
In the Death Dome, arcades.
Yeah, and Murder World.
Yeah.
Murder Island. But it's really good. Like, that book is action-packed. It's very, like, the emotion's palpable.
Yeah, he really gets... I didn't know most of those characters when I first started reading it. And I was one of the people who was super skeptical of this. It's like, how dare they throw a bunch of, like, teenagers who, you know, with these story histories that people really like. And, yeah, and you know, and make that the Hunger Games money, you know?
Right.
But I've become really invested. Every now and then, actually maybe a little too often, he'll have a miss, like a really bad chapter. Mm-hmm. Or especially his motivation for Arcade doing it all is really bad. Mm-hmm. But for every one of those, there's just a really awesome, just like, and it's so like pure like teenage essence and just of like desperation and survival and love and like romance and the stupid things you do for the people you love. This last issue, one of the guys, you think the gay guy, turns out he has like a super powerful, what is it, like a demon inside of him?
Uh-huh. Who is this?
That was unleashed to the size
of... It's one of the Bloodstones.
Cullen.
Elsa's sister. Cullen, yeah.
Cullen, Elsa's brother.
Cullen Bloodstone. He turns into this giant Godzilla monster and starts like wrecking the island and like hurting people and stuff. And then... it's all from Nara's point of view, who's this amphibious creature.
Atlantean,
yeah. Sort of like in the vein of Namor, but she's more fishy.
She's part of like the Royal Elite Guard, like her line is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's like super good.
You're talking about the gay character in that, and it occurred to me, how can we not mention Young Avengers, where there's this drama between, was it Teddy and...
Teddy.
Prodigy.
Prodigy, yeah, yeah.
And Hulkling.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's...
Billy.
Sad.
Well,
David, your home wrecking hussy.
It's interesting. Because
it's Loki who really did it.
Yeah, the whole idea is that Teddy, right? That's Scarlet Witch's son.
No, Billy.
Billy. I always get confused. Is potentially, at least maybe, but probably not. He can alter reality. That's his mother's power. That maybe he has somehow like got Hulkling to fall in love with him. Like that there's some undue influence, and so Hulkling, after being kissed by, was it Prodigy?
Yeah,
you know, is now just confused and is like, oh my god, maybe if
Curtis was supposed to love me.
If I spend time away, maybe it'll clarify my feelings. And it's a very sort of real world sort of emotional thing that they're doing amidst this, you know, universe. Jumping adventure.
The past like two issues of that of Young Avengers, like for me, every issue has gotten better and better, mm-hmm. but these past two issues have just been out of this world, knock it out of the park.
The art's beautiful. McKelvey's doing some amazing work. I mean, his lines are always very clean
and the colors expressive.
And the colors are ridiculous. And I, the fact that they're bursting through universe walls, what's her name, Miss America Chavez, she's just like busting through walls. Like, I love that angle. I love the music angle. I love the sort of rebellious teen spirit, you know, our enemies are our parents kind of thing. Like, I love all of the, what they're doing. It's very smart. And Loki's great, too, of course.
I like that you guys like it a lot. I feel like I should be in love with this series, but I'm honestly thinking of dropping it because it's just not doing it for
You're
me.
You're a bad gay.
I know, and no, I feel not. Like a bad gay. You know, I really do. A lot of books, you know, and I don't know how this will sound, but a lot of books I will read just because there's gay people in it, because I feel like I should be aware, just me being who I am, I should know what's going on with all the gay people. Like, that's the only reason I'm reading Earth 2, even though it's, like, terrible. Thank God it's getting a new writer. But, you know, and, like, Young Avengers, I had no problem reading that because it was a great, great story by Alan Heinberg. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to have gay characters in it. So it was even better. So now I'm not liking it. I don't enjoy the flow. I feel like there's a bad economy of words where I feel like they waste a lot of – it's not waste, but they poorly use a lot of, like, artwork and time, and they try to make these jokes, and I could tell they're trying to be funny, but I don't find it, like, remotely humorous, and
I think they're pastiche, you know, their little jokes about Tumblr. What do they call it? Yambler?
Yambler.
I think that's pretty cute and a very intelligent way to tell a story. That is a neat innovation they've done. I haven't seen very many comic storytellers use...
Jeff Lemire did it better in Animal Man.
Well, there you go. But, I mean, it's not common, and so that was smart.
You know, I will say, though, that I always tell people, if you're not enjoying a book, don't read it. Because, like, you're not going to love every book. I know people who hate Hawkeye. They think the art is terrible.
What?
I think the art is gorgeous. But it's just, if it doesn't appeal to your sensibilities, it doesn't mean that the book is bad. It doesn't mean that the book is good. It just means that you yourself didn't resonate with it. And that's totally okay.
See, with
okay.
the Young like, Avengers, it's not about the gay aspect and everything that's got me. It's me because I'm fascinated with Kid Loki.
Yeah.
I become fan. And I don't know, and I should read the Journey.
You really should.
Please read. Could we please order Journey in the Mist?
I have it. I'll give it to you.
I didn't read it, but I am fascinated with it, and that's what brings me back to the book.
Because he's Loki.
Not about this gay bullshit.
But he's not Loki. But he's Loki. Yeah. But he's not Loki. I don't know. I'm loving it. So, Marvel, any other Marvel stuff?
Spider-Man.
$20.99.
Yeah.
Which, when Pat and I were talking about this, when was the last time they brought him out?
They did this
a long time.
A couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they did. Oh,
and it wasn't too far ago, but
it was really quick and it didn't go anywhere. It was done.
It was right when they came out with Shattered Dimensions, the video game, right? Wasn't it around that time?
I don't know.
Possibly.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
But before that, it had been a while.
It had been a while.
So let's just say Spider-Man 2099 was not... He's been on the shelf. And because of all the time shenanigans that's going on with Age of Ultron, Aftermath and all that, the writer, Dan Slott, said, you know, it would be cool to bring him forward and have him deal with Superior Spider-Man in a way. And I like that they're weaving in the story from... 2099 Spider-Man, the Roxxon Corporation, whatever, and how they're tying it into what's going on with the Horizon Labs.
No, you mean Alchemax?
Alchemax, sorry. Yeah. Roxxon, something else. Remember, it was Roxxon. Anyway, but like they're tying that together, and there's like that whole thing. And they haven't yet dealt with, you know, well, does he know that it's Doc Ock or not or whatever, but I'm sure that's coming.
Actually, he either A, doesn't remember, or B, it's because I just started reading 2099, so it's fresher in my mind than most people.
Uh-huh.
Something goes down at the end of the heroic age that just puts us in a dark age for a couple of decades, and then we finally come out of that in 2099.
So that's their way of saying we don't remember what happened because it hasn't been written yet.
Exactly.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But I do like that they blame the heroic age. Like, they're like, what are they doing? They're fucking with time again? Oh, come on. You know, like they throw that out there. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. And if you don't know 2099 Spider-Man, it doesn't matter.
Miguel O'Hara.
It's still, you'd get the gist.
Yeah, I feel like
quick.
I missed something because I don't know really who that is. I never read it when I was a kid or whatever. But I've seen lots of reactions. I'd be like, oh, yeah, 2099. And I'm like, eh.
I thought it was a pretty cool story back in the day. And I read a bunch of the 2099
titles. It was one of the solid ones.
Yeah.
Did
it still holds up, though.
Does it?
It's so, I mean, you can obviously tell it was made in the 90s, but it holds up pretty well.
So that's the other, and the other one, playing with time, Incredible Hulk, or the, not Incredible Hulk, what's it, the, what's
Indestructible Hulk?
Indestructible Hulk. I do like the whole thing they're playing with time there, and the art's been really good.
Time.
Dr. Banner's a Time Lord.
Listen. I don't just like time travel stuff, but I think it's an excellent, like, Wade, it's a different type of story than he's telling in his other books.
Dr. Hulk. Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's very Doctor Who, so it's kind of fun. Let's talk some indie books, because, again, I think the indie books...
Lock and key. We're getting there.
Oh, it's like the fucking Stepford Wives over here, all
cuckoos.
Yeah. So I'm not reading this, but Alpha's number one of what, like three?
Two.
Like two. So this is like the grand finale, huh?
It is.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so good.
Oh, that issue. People drop like flies left and right.
Really?
That final little itty bitty key, like the wireframe key.
The one that he makes.
Was used. Oh.
Alpha key, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. It's, you get to understand like why all of this was happening, what the plan was all along, because everything that we took for granted just didn't happen. There are still some people we don't know if they're alive or dead.
Like Bodhi, I think you leave this issue thinking he's dead, but I think he's just like a lifeless husk. He has life.
He's a husk,
but I think his spirit's still around the ground, so I think my prediction that it somehow finds its way back in.
Into the body.
What's it, Rufus?
Rufus,
I think, will take his where the doorway it's supposed to be and he'll go through it.
I mean, Sam Lesser's still out there too, isn't he? Did he get destroyed?
I can't remember. It's been too long.
He's been through a lot, poor guy.
But that book has just been awesome.
But I have to say, $7.99 for 30 pages... That's bullshit. That's a
30. Well, you got extra stuff.
You got extra bullshit.
Right.
Or $8. Extra bullshit.
No, no. Here's the thing. They added
snow.
They added scenes from the pilot that they shot. And it's like,
it's never going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. None of you will be able to see this one. But hey, remember this? And everything just looks like pitch perfect.
Well, are they supposedly making like a movie now?
The movie is supposedly coming.
So the story will get out. And I will read it. I actually have.
You won't read it.
I have the first two trades and I will read them.
I don't want to. It's not done yet, so I can't say this for sure. But this is. Looks like it might be one of the best series I've ever read.
Wow.
Agreed.
And I've read, you know, Why the Last Man and Watchmen and stuff. I don't know if it's better than those things, but it's definitely up there.
It's in your top 10 to 5 pantheon.
Right. It's something I could recommend to anybody because it's just that good. Hmm. And really, it's not even that the end hasn't been as like plot intensive as you would think. It's so like just character based. Everyone feels like really real. In the beginning with Detective Matuku.
Yeah.
He hasn't even had a big role, but just that moment that he shared with the mom right before he got stabbed by the shadow monster and died,
that got me.
The series is so good. It just makes you invest in everyone, even small characters, main characters. And the...
Oh, I was going to say, it's everything... This is the story that's truly about the journey. And it's...
Yes.
A lot is happening in, like, the climax, but you don't even really care about that. Is because, like Joshua said, you're so invested in these characters, and they're so fleshed out that... When one of them dies, or you know, love is lost, like you feel like your best friend is hurting, and that's what this book is. Now, I tried to read an article, but Joe Hill just kept having pictures in the article with him in different keys, and I'm just like, you are too hideous for me to read this. I just can't do it.
What?
Wow. Like Joe Hill is his father's.
Have
son.
You seen? Yes. Have you seen his father? Like come on.
He's
not
attractive. Well, you saw him in person, right?
I don't think he's unattractive. Well, I don't think he has the best haircut in the world.
No, he's just really... I'm just like, I'm really glad that I love you for your brain and not your looks.
Aww.
He's not like Garrison Keillor homely, is he?
Oh.
Ooh.
It's that AV club nerdy.
Okay.
That 80s and 70s.
Yeah, they did get stuck in a decade there. So, I want to talk about something that is gay. And not from a major publisher, even like a minor publisher. This is kind of obscure. But we were recommended by Ron, one of our listeners and friends of mine. And it is the Protect the Young Protectors by Alex Wolfson. And their artist is DeCracker. Seriously, that's his name. And inked by Gandini. This is all up on yaoi911.com, which is an interesting name. If you know yaoi, of course, then you know it's an interesting genre with lots of interesting sort of things. But what I will
plenty
say...
Plenty of Rule 63 stuff going on there.
Yes. Which we'll talk about. So I was recommended this, and I'd only seen little, like, here and there pictures of this silver-haired daddy drawn very well, actually. I like the art a lot. And I didn't know what the story was. I had no idea. I just knew he was a big player. So today, I actually, before the show, I read through the first chapter of The Young Protectors.
Is it print?
It's a web series, and they did a Kickstarter, so it is actually in print, and self-published. But it's all up on the web for free, and then if you like it, I'm sure you can order it and whatever. And it's interesting because it's about this hero named Red Hot, which, okay, it's kind of a dumb name, but whatever. And he's a 17-year-old redheaded superhero. Has fire powers, and he's hanging out in front of
a
gay bar.
He's a flamer.
Yeah. Yes, So he's hanging out in front of a gay bar. He goes into the gay bar, comes out, and it's like, you know, leaving or whatever. But he's curious, like he's trying to figure out his sexuality, or whatever. And so this gray haired.
You walk into a gay bar, you know your sexuality at that point.
He's trying to come to terms with it. Then, so this gray haired daddy, who is a supervillain named the Annihilator. Okay, we're not talking, you know, profoundly original names here, but whatever. Confronts him in like an alley and is like, hey, I just saw you go into a gay bar. What's up with that? You know, trying to challenge him. And basically the daddy guy kind of dares him like, look, if you don't want me to out you to tabloids or whatever.
My pee-pee.
No, not this isn't. This is actually to their. Some people think it's all just smut. No, this is actually very tasteful. Basically just says, look, I won't say anything to your teammates or the rest of the people, whatever, if you give me a kiss. And you got to give me a kiss like you mean it.
Oh, it was tasteful.
Like in The Matrix?
It was.
Yes, exactly. And I just watched it the other day.
Like you are her.
Yes. I was just thinking of that. Which, that movie, I still love that movie. But,
me too.
So he dares him, and the redhead likes it. Gets a little excited by it. They don't show. It's not gratuitous. But this becomes a springboard then for like a date. So, like, he takes the redhead guy on a date in, like, Hong Kong or something, some Chinese, whatever, you know, over in Hong Kong. And they get attacked by superheroes, but they're superheroes kind of in, like, the Punisher, extreme, you know, whatever, you know. Seriously, one of the costumes made me laugh. They had, like, it's like armor, and the chest plate, but it was, like, hanging down here, was drawn like abs. So, like, the little chest piece was, like, abs on – it was kind of funny. So – and they're kind of making fun of, you know, Supreme – or not Supreme, but, you know, the really violent superheroes thing. Anyway, long story short, basically set up
– now it's getting short.
Hey, fuck you. This is important.
Land that plane,
this
Brian.
Is important.
Get around.
This is indie, gay. If you are listening and you are liking the homosexuality and the comics, this is for you. They basically set up a next date.
It's not for you, Joshua.
Yes. No. I had heard
about
this.
I don't like Young Avengers. I guess I don't like
– I had heard about this for a while again, and then Ron's like, no, you gotta read it, you gotta read it, you gotta read it. And I will say this, it is excellent. If you like, I think it's well drawn. It's sexy, but it's not like smut, like it's not the Barra stuff that I also like a little bit. It's not like explicit, but it's really funny and it's really sweet at times. And I actually kind of like the idea that a supervillain, you know, who's a lot older, I will say that is a little controversial. The guy's like 58. And the 17-year-old's turning 18.
Ooh, I have a chance.
Yes. Yes. But like he's trying to challenge him into accepting his sexuality and yet also kind of interested in the guy. And it's this very.
Now, is he a Magneto 58?
Yes, very much a Magneto 58. No,
58.
I'm telling you, the art's gorgeous, and the main guy and I are actually is very well drawn. I wouldn't say he's 58 by just looking at the drawing.
Exactly, that's what I'm.
But I'm just really intrigued, and this is an ongoing series. The guy's been writing for a while, and it's continuing, and it's good, and it's original. And again, if you're young and you're not even young, if you're gay and you like comics, this is your intersection. This is really good. So we talk a lot about indie books, but we talk about major publisher indie books. And I would like to, as we did with what Captain Universe, that right?
Captain Ultimate.
God damn it! I always do that. So I want to actually mention these books that are from the not so mainstream indie press, if there you know is such a thing. And bring that up.
I was published in Class Comics again.
Yay! Which issue?
That was their summer meaty issue.
Because we're coming up on the Halloween thing you did last year.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Jared, I'm so proud.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
No, thank I'm you. Very excited. And coming up, we will actually have an interview with the guys who run BentCon.
Awesome.
Which will be exciting. And I'm still hoping at least one or two of us will get to go out there for that this year, like Jared did last year. So I also want to mention real quick, I finished The Carter Family, the graphic novel I got back after Heroes Con about the Carter family. Again, off the beaten path. Like
Nick
this
Carter?
Is no, not Nick Carter. We're talking.
Do they do crystal meth too?
No. June's parents, AP and Sarah. This was actually really good. I just don't know that it's got a very wide audience. I think if you're a music fan or if you're a musician and into comics, it's kind of neat to see the story, the biographical story of the Carter family and what they go through. I will say the art is very plain. Go listen to like The Circle Will Be Unbroken. But I mean, showing the guys here, the art is very plain, very much in that sort of, what's the style?
Wait, look, bring it over here.
Show Jared. Show someone who would appreciate it. So, but I will say this: the book. It's a nice hardcover. It was like $10. It comes with a CD of their record, some of the recordings. Like, it's a great little thing. And the reason it was brought up at Heroes Con is they were doing a panel on music and comics, and they had the depiction of one of the songs in there that actually doesn't just show like them singing, but actually like depicts the song, and it was just kind of neat. So I really enjoyed it.
This almost has a little Abner feel to it.
Yes, very plain, sort of simple.
I will say
again,
this.
Totally different from
this sort
normal.
Of springs on to my critique of the Star Wars number one, which was an adaptation of George Lucas's.
Movie that, thank God, wasn't me.
George Lucas's first script, first rough draft of Star Wars, like Lizard and Han
really
Solo,
well.
And
George Lucas and Star Wars. And,
but I wrote a review on IGN, and everyone flipped out at me because I said that the art was too detailed and like too like intricate that it didn't have a good flow to it, and people are like, how could he, that, what the fuck does that mean? Like, it's too good. How could artwork be too good? Like they didn't understand that there's a difference between like really hyper detailed stuff and like good like flow, like storytelling.
It was so good that one of the main characters actually looked like George Lucas.
I noticed.
Coincidentally,
that.
No.
That's so funny. No. See, and but you know, like Hawkeye is brilliant storytelling,
right?
But it's such minimalist like line work, but you have to do more with less, which is harder to just make this really intricate detail. I mean, it's hard to do detailed stuff.
Everyone should read Understanding Comics, where I forgot the guy's name. Jeff something.
Scott McCloud.
Thank you, Scott McCloud. Oh, my God. I couldn't think of it. I'm actually reading his other book, his more recent book about making comics. It was called Making Comics. And it talks about the spectrum between cartooning, between very sort of simple lines and very kind of straightforward, you know, emotive, to all the way over to super realistic, you know. And there's room for both.
It honestly looked like a book full of concept art.
Yes.
Beautiful concept art. It looked cool to see, you know, the original version of Darth Vader and how the Jedi used to work with that head, the gambit thing. And but as far as the story goes, it didn't flow very well. And then they had like 1,000 different names of characters we didn't know or were not familiar. So I was like, this is a mess.
You know, it's funny because you say, you know, it is. It's just a book about concept art. And that's one of my favorite, like, genres to see that, like,
Ralph McQuarrie.
That fantastic, like, science fiction, fantasy, great starscapes, Sydney. Pointed, like, Death Star. Like, I love the art. I think the art's the best part about that book because we're seeing a rough draft that's been polished. Like, and I'm thinking. And, you know, I hate to do that whole retrospective thing where I know what Star Wars is now as opposed to what it was then. But there are a lot of issues. Like, it's very confusing. You're right. There are just so many characters that have just been wedged into this first issue.
Oh, he's in there, too.
It's an 8-issue run. So it's not like we didn't have, like, time to, like, parse things out.
Right.
But it's just, it's like falling down the rabbit hole where everything is kind of like right, but still really wrong. And I don't know if that's the reason why I didn't like think it was the best thing ever. But that art for me is fantastic.
I think it's fascinating from a process perspective too, because if you think, I mean, and this is pretty much Lucas's original concept of Star Wars as a storyteller, to evolve and yet simplify what then became Star Wars from this, that's fascinating. As thinking about like writing and storytelling, that he realized, or people helped him realize, that this story was really convoluted and needed to be distilled down into simpler.
The sad part is, some lessons never stay with you.
Well, did you think some of it reminded you of The Phantom Menace a little bit?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fascinating, too.
Well, you see, in The Power of Myth.
Well, no, but I really enjoy it just from a sort of historical perspective, but I'm also a big old concept artist whore. I love Sid Mead and Ralph McQuarrie and all these guys, and, you know, those old classic sci-fi paperbacks that had was Whelan.
I, too, long to be like that.
Yes. Seriously, like, that's
Ooh,
like
I can't
crack.
Wait for you to charge, like, $800 for a print. Ooh, bitch!
Yeah, Frank Frazetta. I mean, like, seriously, that's what this whole book looks like. And I love some of the choices where they took, like, the Star Destroyers, and they made them, like, look like speeders, and that's, like, their little personal...
They're, like, X-Wing size.
Yeah.
Now.
Like, that's cool. Like, again, it sort of shows a little bit of the early precursors or whatever, you know. I don't
know. That Star's made out of wood.
Yeah, that didn't work so well.
I would actually like to read the actual script, because this script has been adapted.
Paper Tim! Just Paper Tim!
I agree.
This script has been
I wonder if that exists.
This script has been adapted, so I feel like this story is a result of the skill of the storyteller. I forget his name. But honestly, I don't want to, like, trash a publisher, but Dark Horse has had way more many misses with their Star Wars stuff than hits. So a lot of it's been, like, a mishandling of the brand,
I feel. They're probably going to lose that in the next couple of years anyway.
Yeah, in the divorce.
Yeah. So I'm curious about mind management, because this is a Matt Kent. Yes. Is he drawing as well?
Yes, he is.
So I'm really curious about this, because it sounds like it's a book I'd really enjoy, but I just haven't dug into it, really.
It's very nice. It's awesome. Like, the premise is, what if everything you knew about life and yourself and how the world worked is possibly a lie?
Okay.
And that there are these groups of people who can make you think something or make you do whatever they want. And it's kind of governmental, but it's kind of super clandestine. And not everyone has these abilities. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool, because it takes this, like, this writer, this true crime writer, Meru, and puts her through this journey. And it gets very metatextual, but it's not meta because it can be. It's meta because it has to be.
Okay.
The art is not for everyone.
Oh, well, no.
So if you like art similar, but not, I how should I say?
Okay.
Stylistically, it's not reminiscent, but it's in the same wheelhouse as Jeff Lemire.
Okay.
So if you don't mind that, like...
Sketchy.
Exactly. Yeah. Things don't look crisp and clean.
More on the cartoony side than on the realistic side.
Then you will love this book.
That's cool.
But if you can't get past it, and I completely understand, because there's some art that I just can't do.
Right.
It's not going to be for you. So they have a dollar issue. Oh. I suggest everyone reads it.
Okay.
What's really cool is that when you look at the pages and the layouts, I always forget the name of it, but Jared, you know when you're sketching out, like, you're doing a comic series, and you have those pages that, like, you can section off, and it says, you know, like, you know, all art should be done within these lines. It's the one with the blue outline.
Bleed.
Thank you. Like, all those pages, that's what it's based off of. Hmm. So you're thinking, oh, this is a comic book, and they're actually using those pages that they use for prints and stuff, but there's more to it than that, and that's what I really like about it. Hmm. It's very meta. It's a huge mindfuck.
Yeah, and Matt Kent is the writer of that. He was writing, like, three or four of the Villains Month books.
Right.
He's really, like, coming out
blowing
right now. Like, he's breaking through. Like, and so if you want to say you knew him before he was big, you know, now's the time to read Mind Management.
He also did Super Spy, which I forgot to grab because we only have one copy.
Well,
so read it later.
Speaking of that sort of indie sort of style, and a few years ago this certainly was the case, Jeff Lemire has his Trillium series going in Vertigo.
Yeah,
and
I like it.
The second issue came out, and it's not the flip book, so that was just the first issue, I guess. Maybe the last issue, too. Who knows? I like at least one thing about this. I like that when the two characters, so there's a character from, like,
1897.
Well, the far future.
1927.
Yeah, early 20th century Earth. They don't understand each other because they don't speak the same language. And you see that by one character from one perspective, like, the other person's word balloon is just dashes.
Mm.
And then they reverse it, and you see it from the other character's perspective, and it's the same thing, but, you know, reversed.
And
that was kind of cool.
You know what's really funny is that, and this is actually, like, part of a larger conversation that I like having with people. It's like when people don't speak your native tongue, you think they're really simplistic and primitive or like very endearing, but it's actually very, it's an ethnocentric way of thinking, because when you look at either of them from the other side, they have these like expressions and you're like, oh, that's like, to them, that's completely,
isn't that, yeah,
isn't that cute? But when they're dismissive, actually speaking, it's very intelligent conversation.
No, I like that, because, and I heard this again on iFanboy, they were talking about how it made the person from the 20th century look more intelligent than the future girl, because the future girl, like, actually the younger, the 20th century guy, he can draw pretty well. Like, he's good at explaining concepts, yeah, through his art. But yet the 20th century, or the far future chick is just terrible at drawing, so she can't. What porn
they,
is that?
They decide
it's a gay musical.
Which Romeo and Julian, a love story.
The first gay romantic musical. And it's porn.
Yeah.
Huh.
Are we done here?
Strange.
We're almost done. We're rounding the corner here. So anyway, Trillium's, again, very not, if you're not, it's sort of simply, well, I mean, Jeff Lemire's art is very stylistic. Let's say that. But color-wise, I think it's gorgeous, and it's probably some of his best work.
He's a master of layouts. Well, yeah, I do, you know, sometimes you might not think, like we've been talking about, the pencil work can be what you might not think is the best, but his layouts are so good that the storytelling is like top-notch.
Yeah,
definitely. Do Star Wars the Star Wars.
Yeah. What about Ghosted? I haven't heard much about
Ghosted. Them. Really quick, I think I might have talked about it before, but it's like Ocean's 11 meets like The Haunting.
Okay.
He has to steal a ghost.
Oh, so they were talking about this on iFanboy. Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Like, check out Ghosted though if you like that.
No, that actually does sound really interesting to me. Although they were joking about how do they catch the ghost with a little containment trap and they roll it out.
Yeah.
And,
hey, they cool. should call somebody.
Speaking of
who
which,
you gonna call?
Our friends on the Nerdy Show that do the Ghost Busters Resurrected, they're pretty fun, and it's like a game, but it's scripted. It's kind of like the way the Nerdy Show does their
Dungeons and Doritos,
yep. And how someday
when are we gonna have 40 gay?
Someday, yes, soon. Yes, whenever Jared has time.
Yes, I think that there is a good chance that before that happens, there may be another sort of pseudo scripted little show that's done by certain members.
What? Girl, just so you know, this is happening.
I know they want to do the Quantum Leap joke that Oral made. That, you know, we go into periods of my life.
Don't give away the concept.
Yes, I've mapped it out.
It's bad.
Oh, girl. I think this is going to be hilarious.
It's so good.
So if you are...
I just picture Oral being like, girl, really? Him? Him? Really? Oh, Oral, I had to. Really?
Well, Synergy says it's a 38% chance that you're actually supposed
We're throwing
to
in jizz in the mammogram.
Oh.
So we have a couple quick shout-outs. Of course, I meant to mention this in that gaming section, but I didn't have it on my agenda. Joshua and I went to Orlando Gay Gamers Level 2.
Orlando Gamers. Gamers with a Y.
Yes, Gamers with a Y. And a bunch of nice guys.
They were awesome.
They really came out.
They came out into the shop with a Geek Easy.
Yep.
Where they have, you know, free video games and board games and a bunch of people. And that's just all it is. It's just gay gamers in Orlando meeting up.
And they were adorable.
Run by this guy, Ben, who writes for Pure Nintendo Magazine, yeah. I think it is.
Which sounds awesome.
Yeah,
like an independent publication. Yeah, independent press. And he came up with the idea. And who'd have thought? Gay gamers.
I know, right?
But it's been really fun and successful. So if you're local, you should find it on Facebook and like it and
I guess they'll be having events maybe there again in the future.
Yeah. He said he wants to. He said the next event was there, he's trying to do a Smash Brothers tournament. So I'm like,
ooh,
I'm there.
We should talk to them about our other upcoming event, which is very exciting. We're actually participating with Geeks Out in the.
Girl, don't lie to the audience. You haven't done shit for it yet.
Yeah, actually, I have. So shut the fuck up. Skip Ender's Game event. It's on the schedule November 1st. We'll be having some karaoke.
Uh-huh.
We'll be having some games, potentially. Uh-huh. A little trivia type thing and a live flame on recording if I can get you fuckers to show up. And
I'm there.
Well, you'll be there.
We have a friggin' choice.
You'll be there. Just making sure. Not having to split
so
right away.
Be bitter.
Yeah, seriously. I expect y'all to be tired and bitter.
Are you going to do my awesome movie ticket idea?
I think we will partner with the Matt Foundation. I'm going to talk to Sandy about this because in lieu of a cover charge, we're not going to do a cover, but as a optional donation, whatever your amount you want to donate, but ideally, you know, maybe something around the price of a movie ticket, donate to the Matt Foundation, which they're going to be directing their proceeds to different charities, including the Zebra Foundation. Coalition.
Zebra Coalition.
Coalition. So a charity for young gays and lesbians who are trying to find a stable, supportive home. So I think that's an excellent, I think that's beautiful symmetry. If you take your money instead of spending it on a homophobic prick like Orson Scott Card and you give it to a charity like that.
P.S. I just want to say, even though I am all about boycotting Ender's Game, I want you to know that boycotts sometimes are difficult. And every time I see a trailer for it, the younger me just twists and
Do you understand that I have an autographed copy of that book?
Oh.
By the author in my library. So I am very much in the same sort of mix, but we're going to partner with Geeks Out on this. They're doing it all over the country, so we're going to be doing the Orlando-based one. That is coming up November 1st, which is right after Halloween, and right before another big party at a comic shop, so it'll be fun. What else we got coming up? There's another big party, supposedly. The Rule 63 contest, I've had a few people interested, but I have yet to see any submissions. So what this is Jared is very busy.
Super busy.
We would like to feature some of you listeners who draw and share your art on our album art cover. And we need this Rule 63 thing, which is basically swap gender of any character you want.
Any male character that we...
Well, you know, I'll even it open. I'll even open it up to some female characters. Okay. You want to draw the male, you know, whatever. However you want to do it.
Captain Marvel's already been taken. Don't cheat, y'all.
Well, we've actually had Jared do some fun ones, too. But I want to see some good submissions. If you are listening and you are artistically inclined and like to draw, please let us know.
If you just like to draw, you don't have to be like...
Yeah, nothing fancy. Stick like figures. You know, Drew could do one. Drew's actually
Drew,
great little artist.
Sort of historian.
I think his... that'd be fun.
He does some spectacular things just on the whiteboard at work, or just he'll put something on his refrigerator.
If Drew is listening, and I guess he does occasionally, I don't know if he's consistent, but he should do a Star Wars Rule 63 thing.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Drew, do it.
As we mentioned, of course, Oral's Dragons and New Spandex, that will be coming up in the feed, and we will have a BentCon interview. Very excited about seeing and talking to them about what's going on.
You should be really excited for Dragons and New Spandex.
I am. No. Like, you know how excited I've been. Hello.
Oh, that's so good.
The listeners, you just don't even know what's coming. It's crazy. I think that's all the big thing. Oh, and Steve McIsaac. If you have not checked out our Steve McIsaac interview, it was really good, and it's right before this episode.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Did you listen to
it? Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good.
And you can find us on our Facebook fan page, Flame On. You can follow us on Twitter, at Flame On Podcast.
At Twitter.
I love Joshua. He posts during the episode recording. I saw your smack talk about you bitches. And I just got into a Doctor Who discussion on Facebook the other day, and I had to like step back and breathe because I was getting so pissed.
Flame off.
Yeah, on that note.
Flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.